High school football is on the air. HavenFootball.net is pleased to present tonight's PIAA District 1 playoff game. Tonight's 5A semifinal championship game is between the number 5 seed Westchester Henderson Warriors and the number 1 seed Springfield Cougars.
If ball comes out, scramble for it, and the Panthers are on it. Panthers recover, terrific hustle to knock it loose. As a man out there, Smith leaps, and it is caught for a touchdown. What a grab by Smith.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Sandy McCauley, your Century 21 Executive Group real estate broker, a lifelong Delaware County resident. The Delaware County Daily Times, all high school sports every day. If it happens in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times. DZO Mechanical, for all your residential and commercial heating and air conditioning needs. Berman's Medical Supplies, the medical supplies you need when you need them. Advanced Chiropractic Center, serving Delaware County residents for over 50 years. Zenith Public Adjusters, when disaster strikes, call morning, noon, or night. Rothman Institute at Riddle Hospital. Think Rothman first. Run again, play again. Here are tonight's internet announcers, the voices of the Strathaven Panthers, Brian Carroll and Mike Mayer.
Well, it's an even-numbered year, which means over the last 4 years, we should be due to have Springfield or Westchester Henderson in a district final. Flashback to 2012, where these two teams met in the first round of the 3A District 1 final, or District 1 playoffs, and Westchester Henderson came out on top 21-14. They went on to beat Pottsgrove a week later and then lost a tight one to Interborough to finish as the District 1 runner-up. A 14-12 loss to the Bucks back in 2012 sent Coach Steve Mitten and the Warriors home just a week or two earlier than they would have liked. Jump to 2014. Springfield ran the table in the Central League and ran the table all the way to the district final before being shut out by Great Valley. But now a week after knocking off Great Valley, here are the Cougars, number one seed on their home turf again, just 1 week away from the 5A District 1 final and ready to play some football again in week 13. So good evening, everybody. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play here where the top-seeded Cougars are at home tonight, taking on the Warriors of Westchester Henderson, who have, again, Warrior football. You just look at their scores year after year after year. They're just in close game after close game and seem to pull them out time and time again. Last week took the long ride up to Fort Washington and knocked off the Flying Cardinals, the District 1 defending champs at the 4A level a year ago. Again, reclassification has reshuffled the playoff order in Pennsylvania, but again, big-time road win for the Warriors, 17-14. A late field goal with just over 2 minutes left put them here in the semifinals, a little bit closer to home this time here in Springfield, Delaware County. And we're joined, as always, by Mike Mayer. Mike, the extraordinaire, the webmaster, and doing a little bit of everything, getting the sound up and running here tonight. Thanks for bearing with us through a couple technical difficulties. We're on the air just a couple minutes later than we hoped, but still a few minutes before kickoff, so we're in good shape. So, yeah. Mike, we're hoping for a good one here. Top seed against the number 5 seed. Both teams have played a number of close games over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I think what we can expect is a close game and possibly not a lot of scoring. These are not breakout teams necessarily. They certainly have the capacity to do that, but they just haven't shown a whole lot of it, haven't needed it either. A little bit of a different record. The Warriors are coming in at 9-3 and Springfield 11-1. Only losing to Garnet Valley. Whether one league is tougher than the other, you know, that's all kind of irrelevant at this stage of the game. You got to play the game out here tonight. But I expect that, you know, on paper, I think Springfield may have a slight advantage, but I don't think it's any big deal. The interesting thing is where these teams are going to go. It's a night that weather will not be a factor. I don't think you could ask for a better evening. Evening's going to be in the low 50s by the time we're out of here. It's right now in the high 50s, so it's comfortable. It's absolutely dry. There's no wind. I mean, there's no arguments. It's just going to be a well-played game, and we're going to see how these teams compete because I think it's going to be a competition. I will be shocked if one of these teams runs away with this game.
Westchester Henderson just a year ago finished at 1-9, just one win a year ago. So to turn it around, start the season 3-0, and then run into three powerhouses in their conference in the Chessmont, a 3-0 start with wins over Oxford, nice win over Ruston, blowout shutout against O&J Roberts, and then a tough loss to Coatesville, but well, Coatesville scoring 41 on everybody this year.
Yep,
so losing 41-14 back in week four, lost a one-touchdown game, 21-14 to Shanahan, lost 28-7 to Downingtown East. Again, no shame in losing those three games, but since that time have rattled off six wins in a row in that six-game winning streak, allowing only 11.6 points per game. Their defense has been absolutely outstanding, even with an undermanned squad at this point. You're looking at a number of injuries, some guys out there playing through them, but you look at the numbers on the sideline, this is not an overwhelming bunch. You're looking at fewer than 40 kids on that far sideline tonight, but it should be a good one, and the Warriors should not back down at all, even with the co-champs of the Central League standing right here in front of them. We're going to take a short time out, be back for the Star Spangled Banner and the opening kickoff. Glad you're joining us live for playoff action on havenfootball.net.
Berman's Medical Supplies specializes in urological supplies, including catheters. Berman's offers top-of-the-line products with discreet delivery. We deliver same-day to local residences and guarantee overnight shipping to anyone living outside of our delivery area. Our patient-centered customer service has established Berman's as one of the region's premier providers of urological supplies. For the medical supplies you need, when you need them, call toll-free at 844-800-5777.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on havenfootball.net.
That's the Westchester Henderson High School marching unit, playing from down on the far corner of the end zone tonight. So they're going to make their way over to the far sidelines and the stands behind us. Crowd starting to fill up. We were a little nervous about 20 minutes ago. There were maybe 40 people in the stands total either side, but it's starting to fill in now. Good
and we
sign.
And we knew the game was on because the teams were here.
That's right. Springfield in their home royal blue uniforms from head to toe. Blue helmets with gold trim, white numerals, the big gold cougar paw on either side of the helmet. On the far sideline, road whites tonight for the Warriors. Maroon helmets, maroon numerals, and again, just white uniforms head to toe. Warriors, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, Westchester Henderson got here by defeating Sun Valley in their first game, 42-16, and then Upper Dublin, 17-14 last night in a game that obviously was won by a field goal. Springfield got here by defeating Pencrest in a blowout, 38-0, and then Great Valley last week at 24-10.
So, again, both teams defensively excellent. Offensively, Westchester Henderson, they're going to keep it on the ground, or so they hope. Leading rusher in Chester County, CJ Preston, wearing number 25 tonight. My expectation, he's going to get a heck of a workload here. Leading scorer in Delaware County has it teed halfway between the 40-yard lines. That's junior kicker Jack Corey. He's got it lined up and standing deep to return. Number 7, Nick Machete, and number 22, Kayvon Jones. All right, the left footer, Corey, puts his hand in the air. Shifts a man to his left, approaches, and a line drive kick. It's going to come down to the far sideline and roll out of bounds inside the 20-yard line. My guess is Coach Mitten and the Warriors will say, hey, put it on the 35 and let's get this thing started. Here comes the offense for the Warriors, led by junior quarterback Joe Solino. C.J. Preston is your halfback. Fullback is number 20, Ryan DeFabrizio. Wide receivers, Rob Calhoun and Mark Rizzo. Tight end, John Early. Center is Nick Weirman, Brandon Lyon, and Ryan Brida are your guards. Tyree Swift-Josie and Thad Roebuck are the tackles. Warriors break the huddle with receivers split to either side. Split to the left is Kayvon Jones. He's a burner on the outside. Get to the Springfield defense momentarily here. Single setback is C.J. Preston. Two receivers to the right, wing to the right as well. Solino under center. On first and 10 from the 35, moving right to left, back to pass and looking out, rolling under heavy pressure. Solino's going to step away and run across the 35, lowers the shoulder and falls forward to the 40-yard line. Gain of 5 on first down.
Kevin Deal, number 73, gave chase and actually pursued him forced him out of the pocket into a running situation.
Deal, one of the down four for the Springfield defense. He's joined by Justin Shields, Dan Gluck, and Derek Strain. Linebackers, Anthony DeVario, Pat Clemens, Dwayne Snipes, and David Strawley. Joe Kennedy, Vince Pupio, and Greg Tomaccio are the secondary. The Springfield defense, 20 interceptions through their first 12 games, averaging nearly two picks a game. So not too many teams have done well throwing it. Not really the strength of the Warriors anyway. My guess is they'll keep it on the ground. Same formation, two receivers to the right. Now they shift the fullback offset to the left. Give is to Preston on second down, and no, nothing doing. Good work by Shields, exploding into the backfield. Preston does well just to get back to the line of scrimmage. It'll bring up third down and five. Shields, 111 tackles coming into tonight, 10.5 sacks. He is not the biggest guy in the world at 5'11", 210 as a defensive tackle, but he is super quick. And, you know, I remember when they played Strathaven about 8 weeks ago, they had a hard time containing 54 in blue. Two receivers to the left this time. Fullback offset to the left on third and five. They run the toss play to the left side. Looking for room is Preston. He's going to spin into a wall of tacklers. He'll lose a yard. Met there by number 50, Derek Strain. And three and out go the Warriors on their opening possession.
And that was after a five-yard gain on the first down. So that's pretty good defense. They really didn't gain a yard in the next two plays.
Standing deep to return, Joe Kennedy and Jaden McKenzie for the Cougars. They await at about their 25-yard line. Joe Solino, the quarterback, stands deep to punt. Solino had a 77-yard punt that rolled down inside the 1-yard line against Great Valley earlier in the season. That was a school record. Here, he awaits the punt snap at his 25. Snap is a good one. No pressure. Flag on the play. Line drive punt is going to come down to Kennedy at the 26-yard line. Steps away from one man at the 35. Cuts to his left, and he's met there by a host of Warriors at the 36. Now we'll check the flag. Let's see here.
Actually, both refs on both sides of the field went ahead and threw him, so they saw some movement.
I think you're going to get a formation penalty here. Yeah, illegal procedure. So now decision time for head coach Chris Britton. Do they want the football at the 36 or make him kick it again? Let's see here.
Boy, I don't know. My gut tells me just take the ball and start running with it. I mean, why tempt fate here?
Okay. Looks like they are going to decline the penalty. Here we go. Okay.
Good move. Get
Springfield offense includes Johnny Finelli at quarterback. Jaden McKenzie is your tailback. He splits time with Phil Shovlin. Wide receivers Vince Puppio, Joe Kennedy, and Greg Tomasio. When they use tight ends, it'll be Steve Silpuzio and Dwayne Snipes. Center is Justin Shields, Strain, Gluck, Ward, and Pinto. Round out the down five. All right, here we go. Wing to the right side is Silpuzio. Two receivers to the left. Under center is Finelli. Jaden McKenzie is your tailback. They motion to the left side, and following that side is McKenzie, who lunges forward across the 40 out to the 41-yard line for a gain of five. Henderson defense includes John Early. Noah Loa Demai is wearing number 38. Pierce Foster, Thad Roebuck are down four. The back seven include Ryan Breida, the leading tackler, Ryan DeFabrizio, Ian Tracy, Joe Solino, Mark Rizzo, Nick Machete, and Dom Palmer. Palmer playing with a cast on his right thumb, but not going to ask him to catch it too much, I would think, tonight. They fake the jet sweep, and right up the middle goes McKenzie out near the 45-yard line. So we'll check the spot here. I think he's going to be just a hair shy of the first down here.
Yeah, you know, Springfield's definitely getting some movement off the ball and definitely getting Westchester Henderson back a little bit off the line, which is giving them the gains. Obviously, Henderson's going to have to shut this down a little bit, see what they can do on a third and one.
Roebuck checks out, checking in for the Warriors. Pierce Foster, the sophomore, wearing 72. I formation, Snipes as the fullback. Tailback is McKenzie. They go three tight ends, single receiver to the right. It's McKenzie off the left side, lunging forward. He's got a first down. Didn't get much, but didn't need much. Give him two, and they'll move the chains for the Cougars.
Number 50, Ryan Breida, was in on the stop. He got up there, but just not quite enough to stop him before the first get down, which, of course, in high school ball, it's very, very difficult to stop a one-yard play from being successful, although we've seen our share this year, surprisingly enough.
McKenzie averaging just over 5 yards a carry, 1,047 yards rushing on the ground, and nine touchdowns. Three receivers this time, Finelli under center. Single setback is McKenzie, back to pass for the first time. Firing to the outside, it's caught by Kennedy, juggles momentarily, but hauls it in across the midfield stripe, and forward progress gives him to the 45-yard line. Brings up second down and two. Kennedy, the leading receiver, picks up his first eight yards of the evening.
Good quick release. I mean, that's what you want to do. Don't give anybody time to think about it. A short pass, but a few more yards on the run, and suddenly you're at second and two and a half.
Just out of the outstretched arms of or linebacker Kyle McTiernan over there dropped out into coverage and just over his head. Receiver split, slot to the right, motion man is Puteo. They fake the jet to him and give it to McKenzie off the left side again, and a shoestring tackler, he'd be going for a bundle. Still, give him the 40-yard line, another 5 yards, and a Springfield first down.
Kyle McTiernan, number 14, saved that. That could have gone for a lot of yards, and the shoestring is right. He grabbed him, I'm sure, by the shoe, top of the shoe, and dropped him. Gave him the first down, but that could have been easily another 10 or 15, maybe even all the way in.
McTiernan, the class president, who is...
You have all the cool information.
Well, he's been terrific reporting over at the Daily Local this year, so I've been reading a good bit. Warriors show blitz on first down. Back to pass, Finelli deep down the near sideline. Kennedy is out there. He's got a step and in and out of his hands inside the 15. Kennedy grabs his own face mask there, saying, I'd like that one back.
Kennedy's going to be dreaming about that for years to come, no matter how this game turns out. He had that and just couldn't hold on.
Good delivery there from Finelli. As Kennedy had a step. Kennedy had a 45-yard touchdown catch a week ago. Couldn't haul that one in.
Yeah, and Finelli just dropped it in beautifully. Couldn't have been thrown any better. Just one of those things.
Kennedy, the leading receiver, as we mentioned, 40 catches, 611 yards, and 9 receiving touchdowns coming into tonight. He's split to the right. Motion man, fake, and they go straight up the middle. And McKenzie into the secondary this time, 30, 25, and down to the 23. Well, take 17 after the missed opportunity there is McKenzie. 5 carries for 33 yards already. Good work by the line, and the play action seems to be working.
Well, play action is working, and of course Springfield is getting out on their blocks, and they're sealing off those lanes. You know, to get to the linemen is one thing, but to seal off those linebackers, part of it is depending on which way the linebackers are slanting, but they're sealing out the lanes, and they're getting yards for it.
2 receivers to the left. 2 tight ends. Actually, you go 3 tight ends now. Single setback is McKenzie. Right off that left side again. He's going to push down near the 20-yard line and get a decent gain on first down. So Springfield certainly in 4-down territory here if they want it. Of course, they have a terrific kicker in Jack Corey on the sideline as well. But 6:20 and counting to play here in the opening quarter. 3-and-out went the Warriors to start things, and Springfield started this drive at their own 36. It'll be 2nd down and 7 just inside the Westchester Henderson 20.
And if you're close by, come out. There's plenty of seats available. I think it's $8 for a ticket, and it's a beautiful night to watch a football game.
Wing to the right is Snipes, split to either side. On the delay, stretch play to the right side, blitz coming. Bryda has got McKenzie and gets some help and drops him back at the 20-yard line. Nice work there by Bryda to wrap him up. And get some help from Pierce Foster.
Yeah, dropping for a little bit of a loss, and that's the first loss Springfield's had on a play. I bet it's the first less than gain, yeah, other than the complete pass.
Yep. Right. 3rd down and 7 all of a sudden. There's possible substitutions on the line here for the defense. DeMai checks in. Roebuck checks out. Okay, shotgun look for the first time here for Springfield. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left to the far side of the field. McKenzie is a single setback. Finelli's back. They show blitz. Firing far to the outside and incomplete. Pressure coming from Bryda right up the middle.
Yep, good pressure.
Didn't give Finelli much room to step forward and falls short of his intended target, Spence, on that far sideline.
And he threw it faster than he wanted to. Yep. He really released it before he got it.
So, certainly within range here for Jack Corey, who in the pregame was hitting from about 51 and in.
Yeah, Pete noticed the crossbars here, the uprights on the field goal is really low, so it's going to be tough to read if it's close to the edge.
This will be a 37-yard attempt. DiCiaccio will hold. Snap is a good one. Ball spotted. Kick is away, and he does not have enough on this one. The kick is going to be wide left and a little bit short, coming in hard off the edge. Was number 22, Kayvon Jones, and the Warriors dodge a bullet there. Nice drive for Springfield. Comes up empty on the scoreboard.
Yep, good for Henderson. They did what they needed to do. They bent. What, you got flag?
Springfield sideline is extremely upset. I don't know if there was contact
on
with the
kicker
or not. I was watching the ball.
Yeah, I didn't see it
but,
either.
Either
I know
way.
I landed on the ground, but I don't know what exactly happened, whether he was blocked into him or not.
All right. They'll spot the football at the 20-yard line. Warriors, second possession now, 5:07 to play here in the opening quarter. No score. And Solino, the junior, under center, wing to the right, 2 receivers to the right. Preston the single setback. They motion the fullback to the left, and they give it to Preston. Looking for room off the right side, and absolutely nothing doing. No gain there. Point of attack held nicely by Deal and number 56, Dan Gluck.
As nicely as Springfield's offense is pushing on the Henderson defense is exactly the opposite of what's going on right now when Henderson takes the offense. They can't get Springfield off the line, and it's showing, you know, on their three and out previously and here. The only real game they got was on essentially a broken play where the quarterback was looking to pass and couldn't and took off and gained 5 yards. Other than that, there's nothing much going on.
Second down and nine upcoming. We'll have a score update in a moment after this play. Two receivers to the right, Solino under center. Stretch play, give to the right side, and Foster with a little bit of room this time, or Preston rather. Spins out to the 24-yard line. See where they spot it. He's going to bring up third down. Put it on the 25-yard line. Call it third down and five. Garnet Valley on the board first up in Collegeville. 7-0 Jaguars on top of Perk Valley. No score, Coatesville and North Penn. North Penn misses a 40-yard field goal on the opening drive of the game. So we'll keep you posted on what's going on elsewhere in District 1. Here, no score. Preston had his first positive gain of the night here. We're still going to call it third down and seven. C.J. Preston with over 1,500 yards rushing coming into tonight. Tops in Chester County. He's the single setback on third and seven. Tracy split to the left. They fake to Preston. Rolling to his right is Solino. Looking. He wants it all. Deep down the middle. Tracy is out there, but so's Joe Kennedy to knock it away near the midfield stripe.
I think it hit the back of his head.
Kennedy, good makeup speed there. Tracy was behind him on a post. But, again, ball in the air a long time. That's a long throw on third and seven, and it falls incomplete.
And I think Kennedy actually stepped in front looking at the receiver, and the ball bounced off the back of Kennedy's helmet.
Kennedy.
Which it works. I mean, whatever he can, yeah, knock it down.
Yeah, tied for the team lead in interceptions with four coming in. He stands deep to return a punt here alongside of McKenzie. Solino will await the punt snap at zone 10. Fourth and seven for the Warriors. Solino punts it for the second time. It's a wobbler angling towards this near sideline. Takes one hop. Kennedy fields it on that hop and is punished. He paid the price for fielding that one. Number five, Jackson Solino, comes up and makes the stop.
Not a high percentage play there, guys.
At the 45, but Kennedy, no worse for the wear as he pops right back up. Good sign there.
Yeah, so Springfield's defense still has held Henderson without a first down yet.
Yep. 2-3 and outs in this opening quarter for the Warriors. 3:16 to play here in a scoreless first quarter.
Now, considering the roster, I'm sure I didn't really look. I'll have to check next time there's a transition, but I would assume there's a lot of two-way players here.
For Henderson especially,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So they're not going to get a rest when they're off-field anyway. But
so Pizio moving from right to left, two receivers left. It's going to be McKenzie up the middle this time, and there to meet him is Brida. Immediately, no gain there, and it brings up second down and 10. So Henderson defense again, defense and special teams has really been the story for Coach Mitten and this whole group here. Again, not eye-popping offensive numbers, you know, in terms of points scored, but again, they play a lot of low-scoring close games, and that's what we have so far with 2:44 and counting to play in the opening quarter. We're scoreless. Under center is Finelli on second down and 10. They play fake, and he's looking as he rolls right under heavy pressure. Now he's going to be sacked, dropped for a loss behind the line of scrimmage. Loss of three on the play as number 20, DeFabrizio, comes up with a big stop.
Absolutely a coverage sack. He was out there. He was looking. Receivers could not get open. Just decided the better part of valor is take the ball and get as far as he can, and it cost him a yard.
Just a yard loss there. Nice work by Finelli to at least get that. Looked like he was in worse trouble momentarily. But third down and 11 now, and Springfield splits Kennedy to the right, Spence far to the left, and two slot receivers, Tomasio and Pupio. McKenzie on the right hip of Finelli. Quick count. Back. Looking. Firing the outside. Kennedy leaps. Makes the catch, I believe, as he inbounds. Right on this near sideline, he has
a
12-yard gain and a first down. Great execution. Great timing. That ball put exactly where Kennedy could get it and nobody else. Gain of 12 on third down and 11.
That was a big league play. It wasn't particularly pretty, but it sure worked.
Finelli gets it there. He gets it to the spot. Again, you're saying the ball was not a Tom Brady spiral necessarily.
Well, he didn't plant well. But it didn't look like much, but it sure worked.
First and 10 at the Henderson 44-yard line going in. Finelli, quick screen to the outside, complete to Kennedy, who's going to be wrapped up pretty quickly this time, short of the 40-yard line. Gain of just three, but Joe Kennedy now with three grabs for 23 yards. And Finelli with the same stats, three completions out of five attempts.
Well, you know, the real advantage of Springfield in this kind of a gameplay is that they're exhausting the defense. You know, very few of the defense players are getting a break on offense. Now they got to come back up. And on defense, you got to move every single play. You can't take a break because you don't know if the ball's going to come right down your throat.
Inside of a minute to play now in the opening quarter. Springfield with the ball, second down and about seven at the Henderson 41. Moving left to right here. Motion from left to right as well. They give it to McKenzie off the left side, and he is met in the backfield. He's going to lose a yard here. Thanks to 14, your class president there, Kyle McTiernan, making the stop. And it's going to bring up third down and eight. Clock ticks, 29 seconds, 28 seconds. We'll see if Springfield decides to snap it one more time or just take this thing to the second quarter. But McKenzie, after ripping off 36 yards on his first six carries, have gone for negative two in his last three. So, well, looks like they will try to snap it one more time here. Third down and eight from the 42. Two receivers to the left. Shotgun look here for Finelli. Kennedy split to the right. He's looking that way. Back to pass. Kennedy on the slant. It is deflected away. Good coverage by Nick Machete. Breaks it up down near the 20-yard line, and now it'll be fourth and eight from the 42-yard line of Henderson when we come back to start the second quarter. Fast-moving first quarter. Clock has struck zero. The scoreboard still says zero. We're scoreless in the District 1 semifinals. Be back in a moment on havenfootball.net.
If you suffer from back or neck pain, injury or headaches, then Dr. Tom Graziano and the Advanced Chiropractic Center are here to help. Dr. Graziano and the Advanced Chiropractic Center have been serving Delaware County residents for over 15 years. They take a gentle approach and utilize current techniques to help manage your pain. To address your back and neck-related pain or injuries, call the Advanced Chiropractic Center today at 610-356-2300 or visit drtomgraziano.com and tell them the Tigers Radio Network sent you.
This is Keith Jackson. You're listening to High School Football right here on havenfootball.net.
Brian Carroll bringing play-by-play. Mike Mayer doing the color commentary, engineering, and more. We'll be joined by Pete Fulginetti at halftime. Scoreless after one quarter of play. Now fourth down and eight for Springfield. And they will look to kick it away and pin Henderson very deep here. On the punt is Vince Pupio, who's had a good season kicking the football. Machete and DeFabrizio await at their 10-yard line. And there's not been a first down achieved here by Westchester Henderson. So if the Cougars can continue their pattern of three and outs here, it'd be in good shape. They come after the punt and nearly block it. Nice work by Pupio to get rid of it. DeFabrizio fields it, steps away from one man. Good speed up that left sideline and takes it out to the 24-yard line. So good work there by the special teams unit. Nearly coming up with the block. Flying in there was 25 C.J. Preston.
And they had three guys lined up to block that. I mean, they were expecting something.
They had a block punt against Upper Dublin a week ago that basically led to the game-winning field goal with 2 minutes left.
Hmm.
And DeFabrizio took the low-line drive kick, returns it for 14, and a little bit of breathing room now. Just outside their 25-yard line, Warriors moving left to right. Their first two possessions could not net them a first down. They'll try it again now here as we start the second quarter. Split end to the right is Mark Rizzo. Wing to the right, actually double wing. Got a wing T look for the first time here. Motion from left to right. Give is to the fullback, and that's Preston picking up the line of scrimmage and nothing else. Clemens, the sophomore, in on the tackle from his inside linebacker stop.
Yeah, Henderson's defense is beginning to find its method.
Springfield's?
No, I'm saying previously.
Prior.
In other words, the Henderson defense is starting to make itself felt. Now Henderson's offense has got to get in there and do it. Springfield's been holding Henderson effectively, obviously, since the beginning of this game.
C.J. Preston, five carries for 2 yards thus far. He's the fullback with another wing T look here. Double wing, split end to the right. tight end as well. Gives to Preston right up the gut, fullback dive, and nothing doing. Nothing doing is 54 Shields there to meet him immediately, and a host of other tacklers chipping in as well.
You know, Springfield came into this game with a greatly appreciated defense. I mean, they have been able to score well, but the bottom line is their defense has just really held teams to very little of a threat, with the exception, obviously, of Garner Valley this year. So this is just more of the same. Boy, they are just manhandling Henderson. Yep. There is nothing up front.
They've seen a wing tee before as well, and held Strathaven in check for really the entire game on the ground.
Right.
That's going back a couple months now, but here we go. Three wide receivers this time. Two to the right, one to the left. Quarterback under center. Single setback is Preston. They fake the draw to him. Back to pass. Looking. Firing to the near sideline. Has a man out here and incomplete. Good work there by Pupio in good coverage on the pass to Nick Machete. Falls incomplete. Fourth and 10. Not a yard gained on three more tries there for Henderson. So on the punt for the third time now is Joe Salino.
What do you show for Henderson for total yards right now?
Seven.
Yep. I didn't think it was going to hit double digits.
Two for Preston and a five-yard scramble from the quarterback. Nothing doing here for the Warrior offense in the early going. Kennedy and McKenzie await on just their side of midfield. High punt snap, but Salino tracks it down and lets it go. Angling towards Kennedy, who signals fair catch and makes it right at the 40-yard line. And again, pretty good field position here for the Cougars as they get going on their first possession here of this second quarter. All right, out west, Thomas Jefferson leads Newcastle 14-0, Harrisburg 7, Governor Mifflin nothing out in District 3. Try to keep things going here. Still scoreless, Academy Park and Marple Newtown late in the first quarter there. But we'll see what else we can come up with. Perk Valley has come back and scored 1 minute, just over a minute to play in the first quarter there. Garnet Valley and Perk Valley tied at 7. So we'll keep you posted there.
Everything's tight tonight, which you would expect at this level.
Indeed. All right, here we go. Shotgun look, pistol. Give is to Shovlin for the first time, and he picks up maybe a half yard. Phil Shovlin, over 500 yards rushing coming into tonight. Nice change of pace back compared to McKenzie. McKenzie, 36 yards on the ground so far tonight, and Shovlin picks up one, brings up second down and 9.
Henderson's defense has really found its rhythm so far. I mean, they were really being manhandled by Springfield, and huge holes were being opened up and sealed off. And now they're giving back as good as they're taking, and Springfield hasn't been able to figure out an answer yet.
Three tight ends. They move Pupio, split end to the left, under center. And a single setback is Shovlin, back to pass, looking, firing to the outside. It is Pupio on the grab. He turns inside, and he is met almost immediately. Gain of maybe 3 on the play, and we'll check the flag on that far sideline. All right, let's see. Check the flag. We've had and they're going to get ineligible receiver downfield. So my guess is they'll back them up here and turn this from 3rd and 5 or 6 to, I think you'd rather take 2nd and 14, wouldn't you?
I would, particularly the way you're playing them right now.
Yeah, the defense has tightened for Henderson here. Ineligible man downfield, and they're going to march this thing back to the Cougar 35-yard line, or just outside of the 35. So we'll call it 2nd down and 14. They'll snap it from just inside the right hash here with 9:18 to play before halftime. Still scoreless. All right. Academy Park has on the board over or at home tonight against Marple Newtown. 6-0. AP.
They missed the early point, in the or second just quarter. We haven't heard it yet.
Haven't heard that just yet. All right, Sulpizio, tight end to the right, tight end to the left as well. Back to pass is Finelli on 2nd down and 14. Looking, has time, is going to tuck and run. No, pulls it back. He's going to be sacked back at the 31-yard line. Could not get away on that far sideline. Turn around, young man. I want to see who made that stop.
70.
No, still looking. Eight. That's number 8 on the sack. Joe Salino, the quarterback and cornerback, coming in and dropping Finelli for another loss back at the 31.
Great open field tackle. Finelli was trying to get around him, and he just wouldn't let him, and it was just dropped. And if he had gotten around him, by the way, he would have had a good 10-15 yard gain in front of him.
Second sack of the night for the Henderson defense. And it brings up third down and 19. Kennedy, single receiver to this near sideline. He's all singled up out here with Mark Rizzo. Finelli back to pass. Looking. He's looking Kennedy's way. Firing to this outside. It is caught by Kennedy. First down across the midfield stripe. Rizzo in good coverage. Kennedy just went up and got it at the 46-yard line. First down, gain of 23.
Well, that if we were doing play of the game, that might have qualified. That was a great catch. Great throw. Threw it only where he could get it. He had a leap to get it. Well covered, man, was right there. But, big leak throw, boy, right where it had to be and the only place it could get caught.
Timing, excellent. Just as he came out of his break, that ball was already well on its way. And Finelli under center, two receivers to his left, one to his right, three-step drop, firing to the outside, and incomplete. Fortunate, Kennedy slipped coming out of his cut, and fortunate that ball is thrown to the outside. It goes harmlessly out of bounds and not into the arms of Rizzo, who was in coverage.
We are playing on natural turf for tonight. One of the few fields left in natural turf, certainly in Delaware County. And it's, although it's in, it looks to be in pretty good shape. Actually, Brian, you were on the field. It looks okay. Is it field?
Yeah.
Some bad spots.
It's just, the midfield stripe's a little bare,
yeah.
Grass-wise, but it's solid. It's
yep.
Not too soft. It's not too hard. It's just a good. It's in decent shape considering we're in week 13 here. They play fake, and on second and 10, they throw a screen back to this near side. This is Shovlin running through tackles, still on his feet across the 40. Cuts out to his left, and he's finally slowed down there by Rizzo and Dom Palmer. It's going to be just a bit shy of a first down here, but he gained about 5 more yards on his own there with just tough running.
That was all it was, boy. He just spun and broke and dug and kept his legs going, and it paid off. He got he would have been, probably five. Well, like you said, he got at least 5 yards on his own.
I like the play design there, too. They fake, a lot of times you fake the handoff, and the defense will forget about that guy. So they fake the handoff to Shovlin, then come back to him on a screen to this near sideline. Well designed, well executed, brings up third down and 1. Under center is Finelli. Fullback in front of McKenzie. They give it to the tailback, McKenzie. He's lunging forward inside the 35 to the 34. Give him 4 yards and a Cougar first down.
Yeah, I suspect there was some kind of miscommunication on the blocking technique for or instructions for Springfield, because that game that started out to be a beautiful looking hole, and then it kind of collapsed, and it looks like there were some collisions between blues. So, but whatever, got the 4 yards, got him the first down. That's the important thing.
Bethlehem Catholic 17, Pottsgrove nothing. Up in the Lehigh Valley tonight. Motion man is Pupia. They give to the tailback, McKenzie, who goes nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. He is punished. Good penetration that time,
yep,
from 38, Noah Demai. And then his buddies come in to clean up.
Finelli may be having some trouble. That handoff looked like there was a timing problem, or somebody was too close to somebody else. I'm not too, without us knowing what the play call was and how it's designed, it's impossible to tell who made the mistake. But that was not a good exchange, and I was kind of expecting a fumble because the collision was so hard.
They lose a yard on the play. Brings up second down and 11. From the 34-yard line, single setback this time is McKenzie. Slot left, Pupio. They send Pupio in motion. They fake it to him. They go right up the middle, and McKenzie again. Hard running this time inside the 30, down near the 26. That'll get him about 7 or 8 more.
Good front line blocking. Really created a seam. Ran right up it and got his 8 yards. Well, got his 5 yards, I guess.
They're going to put his knee down back at the 28. So still bring up third down and 5. Clock ticks, 5:31, and counting to play here before halftime. We are scoreless. Springfield on the move. Westchester Henderson has yet to pick up a first down on the offensive side of the ball, but the defense has bent very little. Single setback, McKenzie. On third and 5, they roll to the right side. Finelli under heavy pressure now steps away from one man momentarily, and then is met immediately. Flag comes in late. We'll see. At the moment, give a sack to Pierce Foster, the 3rd sack of the night, but then we'll check this flag that is in the neighborhood of holding, I would guess. We'll see. So, holding it is, and now you got a decision here. You want to put him in 4th down and medium distance, or you want to put him 3rd and forever here?
Your defense is playing pretty well. I may take the yards and give an extra down and think we can hold him.
All right, 5:12 to play here before halftime.
You want to take him out of field goal range.
Coach Steve Mitten, big decision here. Holding on the offense, spot foul is going to be declined. So the sack will drop him back to the 34-yard line, bring this to fourth down and about 10. Fourth and about 10 or so.
Yeah, 11 actually. Yeah. 11, yeah.
All right, fourth and 11, and they're going to punt it away.
Yep.
All right, so Coach Mitten, good decision there for if you're a Henderson fan to say, hey, we decline, and it'll force a punt. Pupio waits the punt snap at the midfield stripe. See if they come back to see if they come after this one again. They do, but low line drive kick. It's going to angle and take a roll inside the 10, inside the 5, and down inside the end zone. Hustling down there was number 20, Jack Spence, nearly down that inside the 5, but good work there by the punter, Vince Pupio, to give him a chance.
Yeah, should have got a little more air underneath him. Maybe would have had a better shot at it. It was more of a line drive punt.
So Springfield nets only 14 on the punt, essentially. 34 on the punt, but touchback brings it out to the 20. Of course, the Warriors have yet to pick up a first down.
Yep.
Just 7 yards of total offense, and we're 4:43 left here in the second quarter. They go trips left this time and actually move the tight end out there as well. Four wide receivers to the left. Back to pass. Looking. Stepping away from Anna. Now here he goes. Celino up the right side. Slides baseball style out near the 29-yard line. Brings up second down and one. So Celino has really been the bulk of the offense. Two scrambles for 14 yards now.
It's the longest gain from scrimmage so far tonight for Henderson.
Second down and about two. Good coverage there from the Springfield secondary as we've accustomed.
Their longest two plays have been
those two scrambles.
Broken plays, essentially.
Preston, 6 carries for 2 yards at this point. They go with the same formation. Spread the field here. In at halfback is Nick Machete. 4 wide. Solino firing a little bubble screens. Complete flag on the play. And first down, he's going to be shy of a first down anyway, is Preston on the catch. But we'll check the flag. If you're going to get a formation issue.
Yeah, that'd be motion. Maybe. They had 4 guys out in the wing.
Yeah, if they had too many men on the line of scrimmage, this is a procedure foul. Right, so you're going to have second down and two is going to turn into either third and two or second and seven. We'll see.
You got to take the penalty.
I would think.
Yeah. Confidence in your defense is one thing, yeah.
Second down and seven. They'll march it back to the 23-yard line, and the Warriors will try again. Interesting formation there. Again, I think just trying to spread things out and give them a different look. As wing T hasn't gone for much. Single setback hasn't gone for much.
Yeah, the Springfield defense has really just shut this thing down. And obviously Henderson now is beginning to get a little concerned. We're almost at halftime, and they've got very few yards.
Same formation. 4 wide receivers to the left. Solino sends a motion man Machete. They give it to him on a jet sweep, gives some ground, and trying to turn the corner on that left side. Turns upfield momentarily, runs into his own man at the 25. Gain of just 2 for Machete. It'll bring up third down and about 5. First carry of the night for the senior, 6 foot, 180-pounder. Quick score update. Garnet Valley trailing Perk Valley now at the end of the first quarter, 14-7. 6-0. Academy Park on top of Marple, but Marple with first and goal at the 8. Coatesville on top of North Penn, 6-0. They strike first late in the first quarter. All right, here we go. Third and almost 6. 4 wide receivers to the right this time. Looking. Solino under pressure. Eyes still downfield. He's hit as he throws, and incomplete it goes. Nice work there by Deal with the pressure. Belts Solino from behind. The ball falls harmlessly to the turf here, very well short of any intended receiver. Excellent coverage. Solino had plenty of time, good pocket, just nobody to throw to.
Nowhere to go, and caught up with him. And now, again, another technical three and out. So,
2:47 to play before half. The Warriors with 0 first downs. 4th and 6. Solino will punt it away again to Kennedy and Cox. It'll be Kennedy. Juggles the football. Scramble for it. Let's see. I don't know. I think Springfield's on it. Let's see. McKenzie and Kennedy were waiting the punt. It went right through the hands of Kennedy, but a heads-up play. Hustling back, attempting the block, and McKenzie slow to get up. That's not a good sign here. Jaden McKenzie, is going to hobble to the sideline here for Springfield.
I think Anthony Maricio was the one who made the recovery, number 34.
Yeah, I didn't see who came out of the pile there.
Yeah, I thought he got it. If it wasn't you, I apologize, but it looked like it was you.
Heads-up play there from Springfield to pounce on it. It'll give them the football and a chance. Three timeouts in their pocket, moving right to left here, and they'll start at their own 45-yard line. Kennedy split into the left, Pupio slot left, tight end to the right is Silpuzio. Shovelin is your single setback. On first down, Finelli's back, looking, five-step drop, under pressure, fires. He's got Kennedy on a slant, steps away from one man at the 40. He's grabbed by the shirt tail and wrestled down at about the 37-yard line. Gain of 18 more. And Kennedy, five catches now for 64 yards. Good delivery by Finelli.
And Kennedy ran a great pattern. I mean, he really cut it nicely inside. Nobody was on him. He was wide open. And the only downside was he was cutting across center of the field. There was a lot of traffic there after he caught the ball and no way to get out.
Kennedy split to the right this time, far side of the field. Spence here to the left. Slot left is Pupio. Shotgun look and the pistol is give is to Shovelin off the right guard and maybe a couple. Maybe just two. Good work there by Demi to hold the point of attack. Shovelin sets it up. Gain sets up second down and about seven now. Clock ticks, 152, 151 for Coach Britton and the Cougars with three receivers. Three timeouts.
I'm surprised they're not in a little more of a hurry up offense here.
Well, still with three timeouts. See what they can do on second and seven. Tight end to the right, motion from left to right. They fake the jet sweep and give it to on the left side. Here is Shovelin, who is undercut very nicely by DeFabrizio at the 31-yard line after a gain of three. And now timeout Springfield with 1:27 to play here before halftime. So we'll take a short timeout. Thank many of our sponsors for putting us on the air again tonight. We're scoreless in the 5A semifinals. Glad you're listening. Live on the archive on havenfootball.net.
Selling or buying a home is serious business, and for serious business, the key to your success is to work with an experienced agent. Century 21 agent Sandra McCulley has 15 years of real estate experience and is a lifelong resident of Delaware County. Sandra is a multi-million dollar producer and quality service award agent. Her three children are Strathaven graduates. Let Sandra's experience be your advantage in today's multifaceted real estate market. Call Sandra now to discuss your home buying or selling needs at 610-494-9520.
This is Jack Hans. I'm the band director at Strathaven High School, and you're listening to High School Football on www.havenfootball.net.
Thank you, Mr. Hans. We miss the band. We're not here tonight.
But a little quiet.
It is, but Westchester Henderson's band did a great job pregame, and they're lining up for a halftime show as well. 1:27 to play before halftime here. The Cougars on their home turf tonight, third down and three. We're scoreless, and they have it at the Henderson 30-yard line. Single receiver to the left is Kennedy. My guess is they're going to look his way on third and three. Finelli takes a high snap. Back, looking towards Kennedy on the near sideline. Single coverage and terrific play to swat it away. Nick Machete reaches up with his left hand and knocks it out of bounds at the 10.
Boy, the coverage tonight has just been exceptional. I mean, they're really, with very rare exception, have these guys been wide open. And that was just another great coverage play.
Machete pressed right up against him at the line of scrimmage. Just no cushion on third and three and just said, hey, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us at the line of scrimmage and get through this coverage. Fourth down and three now from the 30-yard line. McKenzie back in the game. Good sign for Springfield fans at 13 is in the backfield here. Spence split to the right. Kennedy to the left. Right up in his face again is Machete. On the left hip is McKenzie. Finelli's in the gun and now timeout. Westchester Henderson, they want to talk things over. They looked at the formation and said, all right, let's have a look. All right, so quick score updates. Academy Park on top of Marple Newtown, 6-0. Marple was driving but threw an interception in the end zone. So 6-0 there. North Penn has just scored. Andrews with a 17-yard touchdown run on the first play of the second quarter, 7-6. The Knights on top of Coatesville.
Boy, I tell you, watching Coatesville last week, we did the broadcast. They were so explosive. And I think they've run through the first half so far with only 6 points. That's amazing.
Amazing. Oh, real quick update. There was the interception that was ruled for Academy Park in the end zone. was ruled out of bounds, so it gave Marple Newtown a 38-yard field goal attempt that went wide.
Oh.
So Academy Park takes over, first down. They lead it 6-0 midway through the second quarter. Trying to get a score update from Perk Valley and Garnet Valley as well. It was tied at 14 last we heard.
Tells you how fast this game is moving. We've only got a minute 22 left in the half, and Marple Newtown's only at halfway through second quarter.
Right. Fourth and three for Coach Britton and the Cougar offense. They'll snap it from the Henderson 30-yard line. Henderson trying for one more big defensive stop here. Shotgun look. Wing to the right. Two receivers to the right. Finelli back. Looking. Blitz comes late. They pick it up. Finelli looking. Scrambling. Steps up in the pocket. Fires. Kennedy comes back to the football and makes a catch on one knee down at the 6-yard line.
Great play. Great play. Good football head.
What a tremendous job by the line to pick up a late blitz. Finelli stepped up, kept his eyes upfield, and delivers a strike. Just great football all around. Good coverage, good everything, and Springfield executes. First and goal now. They'll mark it at the 7. Gain of 23. 6 catches for Kennedy now for 87 yards in the first half. Still scoreless, though. Give is to McKenzie off the left side. He's carrying tacklers down inside the 5 to the 4. Gain of 3. Clock ticks. 51, 50, 49 seconds. And now they'll stop the clock. Timeout Springfield. That's their second as McKenzie picks up 3. 13 carries for 48 yards here for the junior tailback. Springfield absolutely in field goal range now. Remember earlier they missed from 34 yards.
Yeah, it was well short.
But they are well within range, and in a scoreless game, it could come down to two excellent kickers on each team.
Absolutely. I mean, so far, Henderson has not been able to do anything with the ball. So, you know, Springfield's very much in the driver's seat. And if they can go into the half with a lead, whether it's 7-0 or 3-0, that would be a big, big plus. It's amazing. We said there's going to be a low-scoring game and it'd be very tight. So
It's
living up to expectations and short of a complete breakdown. And even the fact that Springfield's on the 3 at this stage of the game was just due to a great attempt at a pass. The receiver came back and picked it up. I mean, 9 out of 10 high school teams could have never made a play like that.
It's terrific, terrific execution there. And now second down and goal. They break the huddle. Everybody's out of their timeouts. Quick score update. Jacob Buttermore scored from 39 yards out. Garnet Valley on top, 21-14 up at Perk Valley.
That's a game.
Here, second and goal from the 4. McKenzie is your single setback. Motion man is Pupio. They give it off the left side. McKenzie trying to get the corner. Stiff arm, and he spins into the end zone for a Springfield touchdown. 42 seconds to play before halftime. The Henderson defense has bent, and now broken with inside of a minute to play here in the second quarter. So McKenzie punches it in from the 4. Jack Corey on to attempt the extra point. DiCiaccio will hold it. Ball spotted. Kick is away, and it is good. And now you're going to get a flag for roughing the kicker this time. Kick is good. Score it. 7-0 Springfield, and then they're going to kick it off from, past the midfield stripe when we're all said and done. You're going to get a running. Did they signal personal foul or just running into the kicker? I don't know. We'll find out when we come back. Stick with us. 42 seconds for Henderson to answer here on HavenFootball.net.
Searching for a reliable heating and air conditioning company? Then DZO Mechanical is here to fulfill your every need. Privately owned, DZO offers residential and commercial services in heating, air conditioning, and ventilation. Since 2000, DZO has proudly served the Delaware County and Tri-State area, offering customers great service at fair rates. For a free estimate, call DZO at 484-454-3346 or online at www.dzomechanical.com.
This is Ralph Lawler of the LA Clippers, and you're listening to high school football on HavenFootball.net.
The short fields finally caught up to the Henderson defense there. So Joe Kennedy fumbled the punt. Good hustle by the special teams unit to recover it for Springfield, and they cash in on a 55-yard scoring drive. The big play, that 3rd and 10 completion to Kennedy. And actually, no, that was the fourth down play. That was the fourth
that's
and
right,
three.
Fourth down, that's right.
The fourth and three. Takes him all the way down to the 7-yard line, and McKenzie punches it in. His 10th rushing touchdown on the season has given the Cougars a 7-0 lead on their home field here. Just 42 seconds to play before halftime. At halftime, we'll be joined by Pete Fulginetti. Try to get some score updates from around the state of Pennsylvania for you. But in the meantime, Henderson trying to get something going here. Kayvon Jones awaits the kick. They squib it to one of the up men. No, it's going to hop over everybody's head, and this will be Machete who picks it up at the 16-yard line. He goes right up the middle and out to the 27-yard line, and still a long field here for Henderson, who has yet to pick up a first down.
That's a great squib kick. I mean, to get down to 27, normally you get better yards just on kicking it away. So that high 12, 15-foot hop really helped. Got over the secondary lineman and onto the primary receivers.
All right, to the 26 is where they'll spot it. Joe Solino, 0-3, throwing it. He'll line up in a shotgun. C.J. Preston. Nope, Solino's, yep, okay, here we go. Pistol look. Preston behind him. Fullback offset to the right. Now Solino comes up under center with receiver split. Slot to the right. Solino motions. Back to pass, looking, fires a quick out to this near sideline, coming back to it. First completion of the night is caught by Mark Rizzo out of the 32. Clock ticks, 29 seconds, 28 seconds, 27 seconds. Good coverage there by Greg Tomasio. Henderson seemingly in no hurry here.
Yep,
they have timeout, one timeout in their, two timeouts in their pocket.
So
now they do
time.
Call it.
Okay.
Henderson does call with 18 seconds to play here before halftime, so gain of, what do we call that, 6 or 7 on the play?
Yep.
Gain of 7. First completion of the night. Rizzo, the leading receiver for Henderson, coming into this one. And, again, 11 catches for 144 yards. This is not a team that's been prolific in the passing game. It's a team that wants to run the ball and then run it some more and then turn around and run it some more. And so C.J. Preston.
And when that doesn't work, they run it some more.
That's right. C.J. Preston, 6 carries for just 2 yards. It's not been a banner night for the Henderson offense, and that's because they've run into an absolute brick wall painted royal blue tonight. Rizzo split to the right. Receiver split to the, 3 receivers to the left now. Shotgun for Solino on 2nd down and 4. From his own 32, trailing by 7, 18 seconds left. Solino looking, rolling to his left, firing to the outside. It is caught, and it'll stop the clock. Good work by Machete, who makes the catch out at the 42. And Solino took a big hit and is slow to get up. They're going to stop this clock as he was out of bounds at the 42-yard line. Gain of 10. And now, with 12 seconds to play before halftime, could be Hail Mary time. Or
I don't know. I think when you're down by 7, I don't think you do Hail Marys. I think it's too risky because it could end up being a 14-0 ball game. I just wouldn't want to take the risk. But that's my decision.
3 receivers to the left. Rizzo here to the near side, to the right of the formation. Solano in the shotgun. He's back to pass again. Looking. Blitz coming. He's under heavy pressure. He's going to dump it underneath to Preston, who is belted. And they're going to say incomplete. Incomplete. I thought it was nearly a catch and a fumble. They're going to stop the clock here, and with 1.1 seconds left, it's going to turn into 2nd down and 10. Big-time hit on Preston. He looks okay getting up. That's a good sign. Did not see who came up and jarred that ball loose, but that was a big, big hit there from the defense. And now with 1 second left here in the first half, 7-0.
It's kind of the exclamation point on the half, isn't it, for Springfield's
pretty
defense?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Or so one would think. All right. Split to the right is Robert Calhoun. All right. They're going to reset the clock. They're going to put 6 seconds back on the clock. Okay. 6 seconds on the clock. All right. 2nd down and 10 after the incompletion. All right. Preston, your single setback. 4 wide. Taking a snap, taking a knee, and Solino will take it to the halftime locker room. All right. So we have come. We played, well, almost 24 full minutes without anything on the board. But a big fourth down conversion for Springfield and a short Jaden McKenzie touchdown run has the Cougars on top on their home field. Top ranked in 5A and a 7-0 lead at halftime. So with that in mind, we'll take a short timeout. Thanks to so many of our sponsors for chipping in and keeping us going through the District 1 playoffs this year. We'll have Pete Fulginetti and Mike Mayer when we come back. Glad you're joining us live or on the archive. You're listening to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Berman's Medical Supplies specializes in urological supplies, including catheters. Berman's offers top-of-the-line products with discreet delivery. We deliver same-day to local residences and guarantee overnight shipping to anyone living outside of our delivery area. Our patient-centered customer service has established Berman's as one of the region's premier providers of urological supplies. For the medical supplies you need, when you need them, call toll-free at 844-800-5777.
If you suffer from back or neck pain, injury, or headaches, then Dr. Tom Graziano and the Advanced Chiropractic Center are here to help. Dr. Graziano and the Advanced Chiropractic Center have been serving Delaware County residents for over 15 years. They take a gentle approach and utilize current techniques to help manage your pain. To address your back and neck-related pain or injuries, call the Advanced Chiropractic Center today at 610-356-2300 or visit drtomgraziano.com and tell them the Tigers Radio Network sent you.
Wherever weights are racked, rackets are swung.
To move is to live. And wherever you find bodies in motion, you'll find people who've rebuilt their lives with the help of Rothman Institute.
Balls are pitched, skates are laced.
More bones repaired, more joints replaced. No body in our region has done more for more bodies than Rothman.
Lawns are mowed, swings are pushed.
So when you're ready to run again, ride again, move again, live again, think Rothman first. RothmanInstitute.com.
Searching for a reliable heating and air conditioning company? Then DZO Mechanical is here to fulfill your every need. Privately owned, DZO offers residential and commercial services in heating, air conditioning, and ventilation. Since 2000, DZO has proudly served the Delaware County and Tri-State area, offering customers great service at fair rates. For a free estimate, call DZO at 484-454-3346 or online at www.DZOMechanical.com.
Selling or buying a home is serious business, and for serious business, the key to your success is to work with an experienced agent. Century 21 agent Sandra McCulley has 15 years of real estate experience and is a lifelong resident of Delaware County. Sandra is a multi-million dollar producer and quality service award agent. Her three children are Strathaven graduates. Let Sandra's experience be your advantage in today's multifaceted real estate market. Call Sandra now to discuss your home buying or selling needs at 610-494-9520. Welcome to the At the Half Halftime Report with Mike Mayer and Pete Statman Fulginetti. Tonight's report is sponsored by Berman's Medical Supplies, the medical supplies you need when you need them.
Welcome back, Springfield High School, where the score is Springfield 7 and W.C. Henderson 0. It's been an interesting game. Henderson has, what do we say their offense is, Pete? What's their total?
They have as many first downs as my dog.
Well, they have zero first downs. What? I don't know what their yardage is, but it is not much.
It's not much at all. But you know
much.
What? You know what, Mike? This game proves one thing. As you progress further into the playoffs, the teams that come to the rise to the surface, the cream of the crop, are the teams that can tackle and that can play defense. And both these teams are excellent at that. Springfield finally did get a drive at the end there to take a 7-0 lead. But you have two well-played halves. No turnovers. There was a bobbled punt recovered by Springfield.
Right.
But there was no turnovers. Just a good half with a lot of great tackling and low scoring, which we thought was going to happen before kickoff.
Right. Well, of course, Springfield was driving the ball in their first possession and went for a field goal, and it was well short. Which is unusual because their field goal kicker has a terrific leg, but he just didn't connect this time.
Yeah.
And it was heavily rushed. They were looking to come after him, but it fell short. So it should have been, I mean, if Springfield could have completed the drive,
yeah,
obviously 14-0 or 10-0.
If we look at the total yards for each team this half.
Or time of possession.
Time of possession, you would think that Springfield was up by three scores, but
But
you know, they could have a little more than this, but it's been a very well played game, and you know, you're just one, if you're Henderson, you're just one play away from tying the game.
Well, and I think the story here, at least the story that's going to be in the paper tomorrow, if this continues through the second half, is the awesomeness of Springfield's defense. I mean, right now, if Springfield scores 7 or 14 or 10 or whatever it is and wins the game with you know, because Henderson doesn't get anywhere, I mean, can they, in fact, keep Henderson to zero first downs for the game? That would be an amazing situation.
That would be amazing, but that would probably not happen. But what you notice about the Springfield defense is not the size of these guys. If you look at the stats and their weight and height and all, they're not extremely big, but they are so quick. And they just get the holes before that the running backs can get through. Number 25, the Henderson running back, let me catch his name, Preston?
Yep.
He's the leading rusher in Chester County, I think I heard. Right. And what does he have now?
Nothing. Next to nothing.
So, I mean, you know, things like that. They're getting to the holes quicker than the Henderson players are getting to the holes, and that's why they can't get any first downs.
There's no doubt from when this game started, the battle that takes place on the front line, Springfield's defensive front four are just pulverizing. There's no movement at all on that line. They're filling all the gaps. And the linebackers, because the linemen are doing their job effectively, which is basically plugging all the holes, any small motion or movement of an opening, the linebackers are able to fill quickly because of the speed, as you spoke about.
Yeah.
And of course, the pass coverage, too. I mean, Henderson does not like the throw, but the quarterback's gone back on several occasions, and the coverage has just been terrific.
I think in the second half, if Henderson really wants to do anything here, they're going to have to put it in the air. I know that's not their favorite thing to do, but if they just try to grind it on the ground here, I just don't know if they can do it.
Well, you know, the good news is they're down by 7.
7 points, one missed tackle could be a touchdown,
right,
and we
right.
have a tie game. But I think if Henderson keeps, not this 40-yard bombs or whatever, if they start maybe some screen passes, some short plays. But
if they have them. If they have
well,
them.
Well, if they have them, but I think you're going to have to do that to score against this tough
Springfield defense. This is a Strathaven. I don't think they had a screen pass in their repertoire. But,
No, I don't think so.
And, of course, Henderson is a big running team. I don't know what they have for a passing offense, you know, how much you know, they have in their repertoire of what they can throw out there.
Yeah,
I think
it is amazing the running attack that Henderson has, and they can't even get a first down.
Right, well, again, that's why I think the headline tomorrow is going to be, you know, Springfield defense wins if it continues the way it is.
Absolutely.
Now, the other situation is, of course, can they take a look at something? Can they change their blocking patterns? Can they do something to get people through those openings or create the openings to begin with and then seal off some of these linebackers? I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough situation. The other thing, of course, is you got to be looking for a turnover. Henderson's defense has played well, obviously. It's only a 7-0 game.
Well. Their middle linebacker, number 50, he is just an unbelievable tackler out there. He's filling the hole. It's Ryan Breida. He's filling the holes like crazy. He made one tackle here on the sidelines. I mean, Henderson's got a real strong defense.
Well, you're in a semifinal quality game, so you know these teams are playing some serious football.
Like I said, when you get to this level, you're in your third round of the playoffs, you're one game away from the District 1 finals, you know that you have some defenses out there. If you didn't have strong defenses, you wouldn't be playing tonight.
Absolutely. It's just amazing to see how well the offenses have been effectively shut down. Although, again, Springfield did have an opportunity to score 3 or 7 additional points at the beginning of the game, which would make this very different. Now, Springfield's going to get the ball first. It's going to be interesting to see how long they control, because that's the other thing. Springfield's been moving the ball very effectively, holding on to it for a long time, which is the other part of a defensive strategy. Don't give them the ball. And then, you know, but of course, when you do give them the ball and they're 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, there isn't much going on there. I mean, Henderson is not threatened at all.
I think we can say, as we usually do at a lot of our halftime shows, if the Springfield can get the ball and control for 6 to 7, 8 minutes and do score and make it 14-0, the way they're playing defense, it'll be very tough for this Henderson team to come back and win.
Yeah, now we haven't seen Henderson play, but the question, and looked on their scores, I'm assuming the big play isn't the Henderson part of Henderson's forte. They just like to pound it out and score.
They're a pounding running team.
So, you know, the idea that they're going to, the quarters are going to be able to, you know, suddenly open up something, throw it for 30 yards and run into the end zone, they're probably remote. They're going to have to grind it out. And I think if they're down by 2 touchdowns by the fourth quarter, their playbook does not allow them to score 14 points that quickly.
It'll be tough because you have this strong defense from Springfield, and you know defense wins games in the playoffs.
Well, they got to play the game. So no matter what I think and what you think, they got to come out here and play it and execute. So in the meantime, speaking of execution. What? Where are the Eagles at?
I mean, I'm in favor of their execution.
All right, we won't tell. They're much bigger than we are, so we don't want to let them know.
Well, look, this is if you look at their schedule, this is one game with they probably won't win, and they don't need to win because there's some easier games coming up, and there's four home games still coming up. So if they could steal this game and become 6-4, they would really line them up for a possible wild card.
Why do you think they played Atlanta last week?
Well, they played Atlanta very good. Why? Because they ran the ball.
Well, they were effective at running the ball.
Well, they were effective, but you have to run the ball. And this Sunday against the Seahawks, they have the best cornerbacks, defensive backs. Their secondary is number one in the NFL. You will not beat this team. Carson Wentz will not beat this team throwing the ball. And Peterson knows that. So they're not going to try that. They're going to run the ball. Because that's the only way you can beat this team.
All right, we'll see what happens on Sunday. It's going to be
on defense, the Eagles, that's their strong point. And the weakest point of the Seahawks is their offensive line, especially their tackles. They're very weak. So you have to keep pressuring their quarterback there. And don't allow them to get out of the pocket. Don't allow them to all the time to make, you know, those long passes and all. If you keep him under control and the Eagles can run the ball, score effectively, run down the clock, they can win. Will they win? I'm not sure. But they can win.
Okay, now, on the most important news, we have a new member of the family.
We do.
You do.
My third little granddaughter was born last Saturday. She's 5 days old, and my son Beau says that she finally stopped crying because she's being fed more.
Yeah, we won't get into the technicalities. But,
no,
you know,
but sometimes, it's like anything. You're the same way.
I get very cranky.
If you don't get dinner, you start crying.
I get very cranky. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, on new moms and when they're nursing, you know, the food doesn't flow as quickly as the baby would like.
I was sitting here thinking about all this. I have 3 children. You have 4.
Right.
All Strathaven graduates. That's 7. How many grandchildren do you have now?
Well, except for Becca. She was a Garden Valley graduate.
Okay. But,
how many grandchildren? I just have three.
3, and I have 3. That's 6. So 7 and 6. Between the two of us, we have 13 children running around that we're responsible for. I thought, you know, we did a pretty good job.
Well, I like some of them. No, I'm only kidding. No, it's wonderful. And grandparenthood is the best of the best. I mean, somebody, what I see, said that, you know, grandparenthood is your reward for not killing your children when they were younger. Brian is listening to this. His kids are still in elementary school and stuff, and I guess middle school going into. So he's still got youngins, but Brian's a young guy too. So
one day in my retail business, I had a lady shopping, right? My grandmother shopping. She still said to me, she says, you know, Peter, one of the prettiest sights is, I said, what? What is one of the prettiest sights? When you see the taillights fading in the distance and your grandchildren are going back to their parents.
That's right.
One of the prettiest sights that you'll ever see if you're a grandparent.
Listen, I love them to death. They come over. We have a great time.
Yeah, and play with them, spoil them.
I am so exhausted.
And then they go home.
And I look at when I was a single dad to 4 kids, and I was like, how did I do this? But, you know, I have 2, and they're 2 grandchildren are driving me crazy all at the same time, but I love every minute of it. So anyway, listen, we're going to get off the personal stuff, get back to football. We got about 3 minutes left till the game begins. So listen to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Zenith Public Adjusters proudly supports the Marple Newtown Football Tigers,
Coach Gicking, and his staff. Zenith Public Adjusters ask, if you feel you may have property damage to your home or business, to allow us an opportunity to review your coverage and consult on the full extent of your damages. All consultations are at no cost. Zenith Public Adjusters remains immensely grateful to all of our existing and past customers. Customer referrals make up over 95% of our client base. When disaster strikes, call morning, noon, or night. Zenith Public Adjusters are open and ready for your call. Call 610-359-8454 for more details.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
Berman's Medical Supplies specializes in urological supplies, including catheters. Berman's offers top-of-the-line products with discreet delivery. We deliver same day to local residences and guarantee overnight shipping to anyone living outside of our delivery area. Our patient-centered customer service has established Berman's as one of the region's premier providers of urological supplies. For the medical supplies you need, when you need them, call toll-free at 844-800-5777. Selling or buying a home is serious business, and for serious business, the key to your success is to work with an experienced agent. Century 21 agent Sandra McCulley has 15 years of real estate experience and is a lifelong resident of Delaware County. Sandra is a multi-million dollar producer and quality service award agent. Her three children are Strathaven graduates. Let Sandra's experience be your advantage in today's multifaceted real estate market. Call Sandra now to discuss your home buying or selling needs at 610-494-9520. Welcome back to the second half of tonight's PIAA District 1 playoff game. Tonight's sponsors are DZO Mechanical, for all your residential and commercial heating and air conditioning needs. The Delaware County Daily Times, all high school sports every day. If it happens in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times. Zenith Public Adjusters, when disaster strikes, call morning, noon, or night. Advanced Chiropractic Center, serving Delaware County residents for over 50 years. Rothman Institute at Riddle Hospital. Think Rothman first. Run again, play again. Sandy McCauley, your Century 21 Executive Group Real Estate Broker, a lifelong Delaware County resident. Berman's Medical Supplies, the medical supplies you need when you need them. Now back to the second half with Brian Carroll and Mike Mayer.
Welcome back to Springfield, Pennsylvania. Just a couple minutes away from starting this third quarter. 7-0, the number one-ranked Cougars against leading the 5-seed Warriors from Westchester Henderson. And a dominating performance by the Springfield defense thus far, allowing just one first down in the first half, and that came late in the final minute in desperation time. And the only two completions allowed by the Springfield defense as well. So just 17 yards passing and, well, 16 yards throwing it.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, 17 yards passing and 16 yards running it for Henderson in that first half. And that's pretty much been the story. Springfield got their seven on a short touchdown run from Jaden McKenzie with 42 seconds left. Had an opportunity early in the game with a dropped pass inside the 10-yard line and then a missed field goal. It actually could be a little bit worse. But speaking of scoring and so forth, we'll give you a couple quick updates. Halftime, Garnet Valley 21, Perk Valley 14. So the 10th seeded Jaguars on the road again. They knocked off the 2-seed last week. They're trying to do the same to the 3-seed this week. And my brother-in-law up in Collegeville said, hey, it's our two districts. I happen to live in the Garnet Valley School District where my kids go to school. And I said, look, I think Garnet Valley's pass defense is suspect. So you've got a record-setting quarterback up there for Perk Valley and Steven Sturm. I said, but I don't think Perk Valley's defense is all that hot. And so far,
it's proved out.
224 yards rushing in the first half alone for Garnet Valley on 31 carries in that triple option. Matt Lasick has 110 by himself, and you know, there's another 100 yards in there somewhere from Buttermore and who knows who else.
They can keep that up. They got the win on this one.
Yeah, so they will start the second half with the football as well. So Garnet Valley, again, surprising some people with that 10 seed. You know, with 2 weeks left in the season, there was uncertainty whether they'd even make the 6A playoffs. And sure enough, looking to get to the District 1 final, where they will play the winner of Coatesville and North Penn. Late second quarter score now. Coatesville went on top 13-7, but North Penn has scored and taken the lead with an extra point, 14-13 Knights. North Penn has never lost a playoff game at Crawford, so they've never lost on their home field. It's a grass field up there. Doesn't maybe suit the Coatesville speed quite as much, but hey, 14-13 Knights so far. Another halftime score, Academy Park 14, Marple Newtown nothing. And again, Academy Park with a two-score lead now, and from all accounts, thanks to our buddies at Delco Times with the tweets and so forth, giving us the update that the Academy Park pass rush has been too much for the Tigers to handle thus far. Just super-duper speed and athleticism has been the difference thus far. All right, Warriors will kick it off. Kennedy awaits the kickoff. High end over and kicker in the second half is underway. It's going to come down to number 5, Anthony DeVario, up the right side. He's got a little bit of room out near the 40-yard line, so pretty good field position to start things for the Cougars. So they'll move right to left here as we start this third quarter. So we'll keep you posted as best we can on these District 1 games. If we can, we'll stretch it out to the other parts of the state as well. And now North Penn, late in the first half, has stretched their lead to 8, 21-13. So Owen Thomas with his 7th touchdown catch of the season from Reese Udinski, and the Knights on top of Coatesville 21-13 as we speak. Okay, here we go. 1st and 10 for Springfield. Wing to the right, 2 receivers to the left. Tight end off to the left as well. It's McKenzie going absolutely nowhere. In fact, it's going to lose a yard thanks to John Early. The defensive end is going to drop him back at the 36. Loss of 4 on the play.
Yeah, I was going to say he's going to lose a lot more than a yard. He really just got stuffed as soon as he got the ball. Just nowhere to go. Total penetration by Henderson. Henderson's defense was a little weak in the first series when Springfield marched down, but then they tightened up after the field goal attempt, and Springfield, up until the very end of the first half, really didn't get close to scoring. They did get a lot of first downs and did hold on to the ball, but really were not a threat.
That big 4th and 3 conversion, a 23-yard strike from Finelli to Kennedy, who had 6 catches for 85 yards in that first half. He split to the left, split to the right is Spence. Draw play. Right up the middle goes McKenzie, and he goes nowhere. Nice job. Good read there by 66 up the middle. That's Thad Roebuck. He's going to drop him for a loss of another yard.
That was a great play. Super penetration. They sniffed that one out. It seemed they knew exactly what it was doing, what it looked like, and they were there almost before the ball was there.
3rd and 16 now. So Springfield, not an auspicious beginning here to this third quarter, but 3rd and long and 4th down has not been much of an issue here for Springfield tonight. They want to throw out the number 9. Everybody seems to know it, and they're still getting it done. He's singled up on this near side with number 3, Mark Rizzo. Back to pass, Finelli. Looking that way. Kennedy's out here, and it is incomplete. Now they threw it outside to Pupio. Kennedy took his man inside. Pupio on the out route. Couldn't get it at the midfield stripe. So 3 and out go the Cougars. And for all the dominance of that first half, you mentioned it when you were talking to Pete, Mike. Henderson's one play away.
Yep,
they have guys that can score from anywhere on the field. So we'll see. Special teams has been a strength for the Warriors all year. Let's see if they come after Pupio, who stands to punt. Low snap. He fields it on a one hop. Line drive. It's going to pick up at the 35-yard line. Oh, fair catch called for by DeFabrizio. He had a little bit of room. But
I didn't see the fair catch here,
yeah.
But they obviously did.
He must have signaled because he turned immediately and flipped the ball to the referee at the 35-yard line. And the Warrior offense with 10:17 to play here in the third quarter. Gets back on the field. Joe Solino is your quarterback. 2 out of 6 thrown it in that first half for 17 yards.
That last throw to Pupio was a little short, and the reason was the pass rush was tremendous.
So, we'll flip sides now. Offense on the field here for the Warriors. They go with 3 wings. Motion man, and now it's Preston off the right side. Now keeping it himself, and now a late option toss, and here's Machete up the near sideline. He's going to get a bunch. Beautiful design there. They overload the left. They send Machete motioning, fake the dive, and a late option pitch takes it out to the 47-yard line for a gain of 12.
And that was about as late an option pitch as you can do and still pull it off. That was a little scary looking, but it worked like a charm.
I have to admire the playbook. They've had all sorts of different formations and looks here, and so they go with basically 3 wingbacks to the left here. Single setback is Preston, and he is belted immediately after taking a handoff. Give him credit for even hanging on to that football. Shields just popped him immediately back at the 45-yard line. They're going to lose 2.
Which we heard up here, the pop. They're right on our side of the field, and they're probably we're on the 45-yard line, so they're on the 45 on the other side.
Speaking of that big hits, so that was Dwayne Snipes that delivered that big hit on Preston late in the second quarter to force an incomplete pass. We were wondering who delivered that hit to knock that ball incomplete. Here, 2nd down and 12 from their own 45. Again, 3 wings to the left. Motion man is Machete. Gives to Preston right up the middle off the left side. He cuts outside momentarily and then is wrestled backwards Give him forward progress to the 49 for a gain of 4. Believe it or not, that's C.J. Preston's longest run of the night.
Mm.
8 carries, 4 yards, as you give him the 49-yard line, and 3rd down and 8 now. So that option play gave him a little bit of breathing room.
Now you think they would run that again, wouldn't you?
Maybe, we'll see. 8-man front here for the Cougar defense. Again, 3 wings to the left. They run the fullback dive off the right side, and Preston's forward progress still going to leave him a few yards shy of the first down. They are in Springfield territory for the first time tonight. They'll put the nose of the football an inch shy of the 45.
You know, if I'm coaching Henderson, I think I'd go for this. Well, they're not going to, though, it didn't look like. But this is the most progress they've shown, and I'm a big believer in continuity and momentum, and I don't know that I'd give the ball up here.
4th down and about 2.
Particularly after your defense played as well as they did in the last series.
Solino will punt. Kennedy.
Oh, maybe a fake.
All by himself here at the 15. Wouldn't surprise me to see Springfield come after this one either.
Look like they're going to.
Solino awaits the snap.
Nope.
No pressure. Solino, line drive. He does get a good kick towards Kennedy. It's going to take a hop, and into the end zone it goes. So 45 on the punt, no return, but they'll net just 25 as they'll march out to the 20-yard line, and Springfield will get the football there.
Well, so my thoughts about a fake didn't work. Yeah. He wouldn't go for it on fourth. I don't know. I don't know that he did himself any favors here. I mean, I know he's only down by 7, so he's looking for an opportunity, but their defense played really, really well in the last series, so let's see what they can do here. Springfield really needs to get going if they're going to control this game, because, you know, as you pointed out, it's only 7-0. It can go either way easily.
Tilt the field at least, as Springfield played on a short field most of that first half. Here they start at their 20-yard line, second possession of this third quarter, 7:56 to play in the third. Pupio motions from left to right. Shotgun give is to Shovlin on a counter going back to his left, and he is tripped up immediately. Nice work there. Shooting in from DeFabrizio. No gain on the play. Shovelin is stopped.
Not only was that, that was 38 Demi, wasn't it?
No, Demi on the stop. Demi? Thought, okay, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, he was terrific because he was double-teamed, got hit by the center, and then the guard tried to cut block him, and he saw it come and leaped over and then made the stop on top of everything. I mean, put an S on that man's chest.
Demi is undersized for a defensive tackle at 185 pounds, but super quick. He's lined up just over the football now. 3 wide receivers, Finelli back on 2nd and 10. Looking, firing to the out, complete, first down and more for Kennedy, who breaks a tackle and tumbles out to the 35-yard line. Dom Palmer on the stop. He'll give him the 36 and a gain of 15. That is tough to stop, you know, when you are just on the same page with your quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that was a quick release. I mean, Henderson's coming in. They are definitely, if not blitzing, they're just charging the quarterback, and they are getting through, but the release is, he's got enough time to get rid of it.
7 of his 8 completions have gone to Kennedy, and here Finelli takes the first down snap, gives to Shovlin up the middle, pushes out to the 40 for a gain of 5, and that's Shovlin's best run of the night, brings up 2nd down and 5. So again, we talked about a minute ago, just tilting the field, and it's starting to go that way. They're going to push this out to the 41-yard line.
Well, I think possession is going to be a huge, huge situation here. If Springfield can hold onto this ball and then score, the way Henderson plays, boy, I don't know how they come back from if it's, in fact, a 14-point deficit. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah. All right. Two receivers to the left. Slot is Pupio under center this time, and they go with the counter to the right side, and nice work there by 66. Roebuck getting off his block and stopping Shovlin back at the 41.
Yeah, excellent penetration, grabbed the legs. You know, the tackling, as Pete pointed out during halftime, you know, we had our issues with tackling with Strathaven. Boy, these guys are sure tacklers. There's not much. I mean, you do see a running back or receiver break a tackle here or there, but that's generally open field stuff. When these guys are in there, there's not a lot of error going on.
Kennedy, single to the left side, Spence to the right. Slot right, Finelli in the gun on 3rd down and 5. From the 41, takes a snap. He's looking back. Pressure now coming, and down the near side, he is buried back inside the 30. Flag comes in late. I think it's in the neighborhood of holding. But Dom Palmer, playing with one hand basically, got through his blocker and buries Finelli.
Yep,
holding against Springfield. It's going to turn into fourth down and long anyway. My guess is Coach Mitten will decline this and put the ball back at the 30-yard line. Penalty is declined indeed. And so the punt team comes on. So just as we said, the field starts to tilt in Springfield's direction. Dom Palmer with a big-time play. That's the fourth sack of the night for the Warrior defense. Pupio will punt it away. DeFabrizio awaits along with Machete. Low line drive kick. It's going to take a hop. And DeFabrizio is going to field it with one hand at the 40-yard line. Comes up this near sideline. Tiptoes along that sideline. And takes it across the midfield stripe to the Springfield 48-yard line. By far the best starting field position for the Warriors now with 5:16 to play in the third.
Another test for Springfield's defense here. They're going to, you know, they can't give too much here. And I'm still waiting for the big breakout by the Warriors to put some points on the board. So we'll see whether that can happen.
Garnet Valley has taken a 2-score lead now on Perk Valley.
My
Matt Lassick
goodness.
With another big run. He has 3 touchdowns tonight, 36 yards up the middle, 28-14, 9 minutes to play in the third.
Wow, still plenty of time, though.
Here we go. First and 10 here. The Warriors from the Springfield 48-yard line. They bunch 3 wings to the right side on the counter, and it's Machete off left tackle. He takes it out to the 44-yard line for a gain of 4. So Machete, 3 carries for 18 yards. The leading rusher for Westchester Henderson tonight is the Springfield defense has keyed very strongly against C.J. Preston. But Machete coming in, 27 carries for 139 yards rushing. Also has over 100 yards receiving and 2 receiving touchdowns. He's winged to the right. Fullback offset to the right. Preston with his hand on the ground goes straight up the middle, and he is belted. No gain on the play. Absolutely no push up front. Thanks to, Justin Shields just dominating in the middle right now for Springfield.
This has been a clinic on defensive football. It's been amazing.
I thought Preston might have gotten an early start there. He timed that snap perfectly. He was coming quickly, but there was just nowhere to go.
Yeah, I think the right guard was not even in the play. He was supposed to make a block, never had a chance.
Third and 5. Preston, the single setback. 2 wings offset right. Springfield shows blitz, and now flag, let's see.
He didn't break that play.
Machete was going in motion. I don't know here. Springfield showed blitz. They're going to call false start.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I can't comment on whether Henderson was wrong, but Springfield jumped up but didn't jump across the line. So
if someone flinched on the line, okay, but the motion man, Machete, he was well within his right to move in motion there.
Right.
Now, it was a sudden start, but
He maybe just took a little step forward and then back.
I don't know.
Because he certainly was going backwards. But
either way, this turns us into third down and 10 for the Warriors. Very different look now.
Yep.
They spread the field. Ian Tracy split to the left. Rizzo to the right. Slot right as well. Tight end John Early. Wing to the right. On third and 10, they fake the draw. Back to pass. Salino looking, fires and incomplete. Very well covered by the secondary.
I was looking in the backfield, and boy, there was nothing out there. Nothing I would possibly try to throw to.
Shields in pursuit. Salino had nowhere to go with it, and the punt team's on again. So excellent field position for the Warriors, but nowhere to go with it. They started at the 48. They'll finish that series at the 48.
And they're most likely going to put Springfield back to the 20 or worse. We'll see whether there's any kind of a run back here, whether it just goes to the end zone.
So Alino awaits the snap. Kennedy and McKenzie wait deep. No pressure. Spiraling kickoff is going to head towards McKenzie, who grabs it at the 10-yard line. He's got some room up this left side. Steps away from one man at the 25-30. McKenzie up the near sideline. One man to beat. Cuts inside at midfield. And he's going to carry a tackler inside the 40 down to the Westchester Henderson 39. 51 on the return for Jaden McKenzie. And like we said, not to overuse it here, but tilting the field.
Yep, that was... It's interesting because what I was going to say before the run back was, you know, this type of back and forth, even though you're pushing Springfield back to their own side of the field, is not to your advantage because the Warriors can't get anything going on offense. They can't score. They can't move the ball. Now Springfield, of course, moves on a great run back, and now they're at the Henderson 40. We'll see what happens.
All right, here we go. Springfield in the shotgun, two receivers to the left. Finelli fires a quick bubble screen complete to Kennedy, and he's met pretty quickly, but still pushing his way through one arm tackle and down inside the 35 to the 34, and then a flag, no flags. All right, near sideline wants a flag. And some discord here amongst teammates as Henderson, a little pile up on the near sideline, and one guy saying, hey, calm things down. The other guy says, all right, just he's fired up, makes the stop at the 34-yard line. So it brings up second down and four. Kennedy, eight catches, 108 yards. All but one of the completions from Finelli tonight have landed in the arms of number nine. He has 118 yards thrown it. On second and four, he turns and gives to McKenzie, who is belted. He is belted, and then there's some post-play extracurriculars here. I'm wondering who they're going to flag here.
Yeah.
Both.
They should have thrown a flag on the previous play. Yeah. That's number one, because this is exactly what happens when you don't throw flags.
All right. I believe they're going to say...
Offset?
Well... Unsportsmanlike conduct against Henderson, yep. Unsportsmanlike conduct against Springfield as well. So those will offset post-play. They're going to give McKenzie the 32-yard line. I thought that was a generous spot there. It's going to bring up third down and two. So McKenzie, 17 carries for 48 yards. Not eye-popping stats, but he has the only touchdown of the night. And he also had a 51-yard punt return that has set up Springfield here on the Henderson side of the field.
The down marker looks like it's at the 34.
Yeah.
And the ball's definitely
the ball
at, the 32,
at the 32. Yeah.
Because it's right on the hash mark, so we know that. And the down marker definitely looks like it's on the 4, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right, here we go. Jacob Buttermore is tacked on a 26-yard field goal. Garnet Valley up 31-14 midway through the third. Anthony Paoletti scores on a scramble. Touchdown, Marple Newtown, 14-7, Academy Park on top, also midway through the third. So we'll keep things going. Right here, 7-0 Springfield, clock runs, 2:10, 2:09, 2:08 and counting to play in a fast-moving third quarter. 7-0 Cougars, they'll snap it third down and two from the Henderson 32. Vince Puppio, single receiver to the far side to the right. Three tight ends. I formation behind Finelli, who's under center. Hard count. Nobody flinches. Turns. Gives to McKenzie off left side. I think he's going to be a yard shy. We'll see. And now Palmer's going to get hit with another unnecessary roughness here.
Palmer may get ejected from this game.
Yeah. He's made a couple of really nice plays tonight in the secondary for Henderson. And the last couple plays, Springfield seems to be getting under his skin. Unsportsmanlike conduct post-play. So they had him stopped about a yard shy of a first down. So McKenzie, give him a yard on the carry. And now 15 more is going to put this in the red zone.
Now, you know, if I had number 24 in front of me, you know, you're in a 7-0 game. Yeah. It's a playoff. You go home, you stay home if you lose. And because, you know, okay, the first time you did it, you didn't get flagged. Now you take it out for the next play, and you're put back in, and you need to do something again. Really? Really?
All right, here we go. Trying to calm things down are the Warriors here, and tough sledding ahead here. First and 10 from the 16-yard line. Springfield leading 7-0 and now going in. Tight end to the right. Two receivers to the right as well. McKenzie on the right hip of Finelli, who's back, looking to his left. Kennedy's out there. He's all alone. He's got it. Touchdown, Springfield. Into the end zone for the second time tonight. Finelli to Kennedy for 16 and a score. 1:24 to play in the third. 13-0 Cougars. And now Westchester Henderson's going to need one heck of a turnaround with about 13 minutes and change.
That was one heck of a throw. I mean, he just lofted that thing and it fell right in, and it just was... was a beautiful thing.
134 yards passing now for Finelli. Jack Corey on to attempt the extra point. Low snap, dug out nicely by DiCiaccio. Extra point is up and good. 14-0 Springfield. We'll take a short timeout. See if Henderson can answer in a two-score hole in this District 1 semifinals. Glad you join us on havenfootball.net.
High school basketball season is just around the corner, and DelcoHoops.com will be bringing you all the excitement and thrills of another season of Delaware County High School Hoops. We follow all the teams in Delco, and we pick our free Game of the Week broadcast to bring you the best live games right on the internet. We feature the best teams and the best games right through the PIAA championships. If you love high school basketball, you've got to check us out at DelcoHoops.com. High school basketball never sounded so good.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you, you're listening to High School Football right here on havenfootball.net.
A 39-yard scoring drive set up by a 51-yard punt return from Jaden McKenzie. And now Kennedy with nine catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown. And now late in the third quarter, Henderson in a two-score hole, 14-0 Cougars right here. 31-14 Garnet Valley on top of Perk Valley. Marple Newtown trails Academy Park 14-7. We'll try to get you a Coatesville North Penn update momentarily. It was 21-13 Knights at half. Corey, squib kick again. It's going to take a high hop and fielded by one of the up men at the 30-yard line and pushing out to the 40-yard line. And we'll have to see who gets up from that underneath that wall of tacklers. And Kyle McTiernan takes the brunt of that hit. But he took it out to the 40-yard line. So Henderson, again, very good field position three times now in this second half, but not much to show for it.
No, not much in any form, not possession, time of possession, not yardage, and certainly not scoring.
17 total yards passing. I have them for 28 and 14. That's 42 yards rushing. Springfield's defense has been absolutely outstanding. 1:17 to play here in the third. 14-0 Cougars on their home turf. Machete, wing to the right. Preston is the fullback. He takes it right up the middle and again goes for maybe a half a yard. Half a yard at most. And number 50, Derek Strain, wraps him up immediately. Second and a long nine upcoming here. Preston, a frustrating night here for the 5'11", 200-pound junior. 11 carries, 11 yards.
You know, Daily Times called this, not Daily Times, Daily Local called this game is 21-14 in favor of Henderson. I'm sure he's in the stands.
I wasn't surprised. I saw that too this morning and thought, wow, that's a lot of scores.
Yep.
Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Henderson got away with 12 men in the huddle there. Stretch play to the left side, and Preston spins away momentarily, but not much else thanks to good pursuit from the backside. Dwayne Snipes at first contact and spun Preston right into the arms of Shields for a loss of one on the play, third down and 10.
Yeah, you know, you got to keep in mind, this team, the Henderson Warriors, have gone on and played some good teams and some good offense. Like, the end of the quarter. But what I was just going to say was, you know, this is so unlike them. They are just getting absolutely stopped at the line of scrimmage.
Well, and they've stopped for three straight quarters, and Springfield now with their fingers in the air showing the four. We're going to be starting that fourth quarter when we come back. Springfield 12 minutes away from the District 1 final if they can hold on to a 14-0 lead. Be back in a moment on havenfootball.net.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
This is Keith Jackson. You're listening to High School Football right here on havenfootball.net.
All right. Quick score updates as we're ready to start the fourth quarter here. Westchester Henderson trailing 14-0. But quick score updates. Garnet Valley 31, Perk Valley 21 as they've scored on a fake kick. And speaking of kicks, a kick return touchdown for Academy Park, 20-7 now. They lead at Marple Newtown. Here, third down and 10 from their own 40. Motion from right to left. They give it now, double reverse here, and now a flea flicker. Back to pass, and Salina wants it deep down the middle. Has a man out there, and is juggled and intercepted by Tomasio at the 25-yard line. Razzle dazzle from Westchester Henderson, but the ball hung in the air just a little too long, and Greg Tomasio goes up high to pick it off.
Well thrown, but just the coverage was too good. That was, you know, that was, the idea was great. It should have probably been released a little bit earlier, but no matter what you did, he was covered to begin with.
Henderson needed a big play. Wasn't going to get it in the run game, so it seemed, and tried to put it deep in the air against a very good secondary. 21 interceptions on the season now for the Springfield defense, the third for Greg Tomasio. 11:50 to play here in the regulation, and now Springfield with the ball and a two-score lead and a chance to run some clock. Shovlin in the game as the single setback. Wing right, tight end to the right as well. They run that way to the heavy side, and this is Shovlin running through tacklers at the 30, driven backwards, but forward progress will give him the 33, maybe 34, for a gain of 9. Second down and 1 upcoming, and that's got to be deflating now for the Henderson defense.
Oh, it's got to run a razzle-dazzle. I mean, the risk you run is you're going to get it intercepted, because that kind of a play, I'm not too sure how much your quarterback could even see relative to coverage. His job is basically to get that third handoff and just throw it and hope for the best, and this is what happened.
Rizzo had a step momentarily, but good recovery from Kennedy and Tomasio. Here it's second down and 1. Shovelin off the right side again. Nothing doing that time. He's going to lose a couple. Nice work there by 66 again. He's been everywhere, Thad Roebuck. He's going to lose a yard and brings us to third down and 2. Shovelin 8 carries for 18 yards. McKenzie 18 for 49. So again, not eye-popping numbers on the ground. Finelli's been sacked 4 times.
Right.
But again, 134 yards passing for Finelli.
Well,
10 of 16 and a 16-yard touchdown.
He ended up with a good running, a good return on a punt, and then a 15-yard personal foul.
Wing to the right, tight end to the right on third and 1. Hard count from Finelli. Turns, gives to Shovlin right up the middle. He's got a first down, I believe.
Yeah.
They take him to the 35, gain of 2, and that'll move the chains. And in theory, if barring a turnover, should melt another 3 minutes or more off the clock.
Right, I think that's got to be the whole mission for Springfield now. Score if you can, but bottom line, possess the ball as long as you can. You've held Henderson to virtually nothing, and just keep driving the ball. And part of the problem for Henderson may be fatigue, too, is although this is late in the season for that, this has been a tough, tough game for them.
First and 10 from the 35, Finelli under center again. Shovlin again up the middle. Roebuck hanging on for dear life as he crosses the 35 out to the 38. Gain of 3. You mentioned Henderson's gotten next to nothing. I have Solino for 14 yards on 2 scrambles. Preston for 10 yards on just 12 carries. 18 yards for Machete on 3 carries. That's only
next to
42 yards on the ground and just 17 through the air. So less than 100 yards of offense with, you know, gosh, only 9 minutes left in regulation. Equipment problem for Rizzo. He'll check out, and Nazir Clowden checks in the secondary. Springfield sets up second down and call it 8. Shovlin single setback. They go heavy to the right side with 2 tight ends over here. They go counter to the left, though, and Shovlin a little bit of room if he stretches out. But again, nice shoestring tackle. Did they blow the whistle? Okay.
Well, I hope so.
Whistle.
He stopped. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
he got up and stopped. Great play there by Solino with a shoestring tackle back at the 36. So they'll lose a yard.
And that looked like it was going to go for some yards. That was a real good stop. Yeah. I'll tell you, Henderson has to stop him here. 3rd and 7, it looks like, 3rd and 8. You know, they really have to get the ball back. The bad news is if they get it back, I'm not too sure what they're going to do with it. But, of course, not having it means you're not going to score. And boy, Springfield's just not making the kind of mistakes that you're going to be able to get a turnover and capitalize.
3rd and 8, Finelli in the gun. Single receiver to the left, 2 to the right. Back is Finelli looking, and Kennedy leans back to make the grab. No, couldn't dig it off the turf. Incomplete, just past the first down marker.
Good stop.
So fourth and eight, and again, you're right, Mike, good stop by the defense. Finelli had completed three in a row before that one. He's three out of five for in the second half. But, again, he's Cougars have done most of their damage through the air tonight. 134 yards passing for junior quarterback John Finelli. I'm sorry, senior quarterback John Finelli. All right. Pupio will punt it away again. DeFabrizio awaits along with Nick Machete. Snap is a good one. They come after it, but he does get it away, and it's a boomer. It's going to back up. DeFabrizio singles fair catch back at the 25-yard line. Terrific kick from Pupio under heavy pressure, Mike.
Yeah, that was, it was a beautiful kick. And I was really surprised he got it off because it was heavy pressure. But, of course, now, you know, Warriors have it on the 25. They haven't been able to do much. It's not great field position. In a normal set of circumstances, I would think it would take them 5 to 7 minutes on the clock to just march down the field without a big play, and that leaves a couple minutes left on the clock, and you're still down by seven. So the best-case scenario, unless they can find a way to score quickly, and, boy, I just don't think that's possible. Not tonight against Springfield. They're just looking way too strong.
Solino trying to get the offense set up here. Referee places the ball, and here we go. He's under center. Receiver split to the right. Back split behind him. Motion man, and they run the jet sweep looking for room off this near side. On the cutback, he cuts out to the cuts back inside. Kayvon Jones, and no gain on the play for Jones on his first carry. Jones is... He has a 53-yard touchdown run earlier this season against Avengrove, 70-yard score against Coatesville. He's a guy that can break one, but...
Well, I got to tell you, he's playing linebacker. He's out there calling. Now, he was screaming at these guys and basically pointing, this is going to be an end sweep. It's coming this way. Look at him. Look at him. And as soon as that ball was snapped, they were all in position. They all drifted to the right, and it was done.
Good scouting there.
So the whole line shifted over and knew exactly where they were going.
Kennedy singled up on the near side here, and again, just no fear that anybody's going to run behind them. The secondary with such confidence. They give off the right side this time, and Preston goes for maybe a yard. Maybe a yard for Preston, who, again, coming into the game tonight, 251 carries, 1,528 yards for 15 scores. And tonight, 13 carries for 11 yards. Just tough, tough sledding.
And now we're sitting here with a third and nine. I mean, not exactly something. How many nine-yard plays have they had tonight? Two? Three?
Yeah, right. Garnet Valley leads at the end of the third quarter, 31-21 on Perk Valley.
Ooh.
All right. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, you had called that. You said the defense of Perk Valley just doesn't have that kind of defense.
Yep.
And boy, it sure looks like it.
Double wing. Fullback, and they fake the toss back as Solino under pressure now, looking, eyes still downfield. Now he's going to scramble up this near sideline across the 30 and then steps out of bounds at about the 31 for a gain of 5, and it's going to bring up fourth down and 4 with 6:48 to play here and down 2 scores. My guess is Henderson may need to give it a go here on 4th and about 4.
Yeah, the quarterback really pulled it up. Oh, we got a flag, late flag now,
flag
something,
late.
Probably mouth it looks like. Somebody said something to a ref.
Yeah, they're going to end up with unsportsmanlike conduct. Fourth and 4 has just turned into 4th and 19. And Henderson self-destructing now at the worst possible time.
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know what other problems they may have had during the year with behavior, but this is, and I understand they're getting beat pretty soundly, particularly their offense is just not able to move it. But, guys, you got to keep a cool head.
Well, now, 4th and 19, my guess is you probably need to punt it here as you're deep inside your own 20.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to make this to be a 21, then timeout by the
Warriors. All right, timeout Westchester, Henderson. Steve Mitten wants an explanation with the referee, and we're going to take a short timeout with him. 14-0 Springfield, 6:48 in regulation. Be back in a moment on havenfootball.net.
Zenith Public Adjusters proudly supports the Marple Newtown Football Tigers.
Coach Gicking and his staff. Zenith Public Adjusters ask, if you feel you may have property damage to your home or business, to allow us an opportunity to review your coverage and consult on the full extent of your damages. All consultations are at no cost. Zenith Public Adjusters remains immensely grateful to all of our existing and past customers. Customer referrals make up over 95% of our client base. When disaster strikes, call morning, noon, or night. Zenith Public Adjusters are open and ready for your call. Call 610-359-8454 for more details.
This is CBS 3 Sports Director Beasley Reese, and you're listening to High School Football on www.havenfootball.net.
Welcome back to Springfield High School, where we've had a couple of lectures from the officiating crew to both teams, actually. The officials have gone into both huddles and said, knock it off with the post-play mouthing and extracurriculars. Either way, Henderson's going to take a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty, turn this into 4th and 19 from their own 17-yard line, and now down by two scores, they're going to need something miraculous here if they decide to go for it. All right, offense looks like it's staying on the field here. Joe Solino is your quarterback. He'll line up in the shotgun. John Early. Nope, they're going to set up the punt team.
Yeah, I was going to say,
similar personnel, but Solino now is going to drop back near, just inside his 5-yard line and kick it away to Joe Kennedy, who has his heels on the midfield stripe. Good field position upcoming for Springfield, you would think. Solino steps into one, high spiral. Kennedy signals fair catch. He calls for it and makes it right at the midfield stripe. And Springfield now with the football, 3 timeouts in their pocket, a 14-point lead on the 50-yard line, just trying to put things away. Marple Newtown forced to punt. Things are getting late there for them. They trail 20-7.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to come back
from Academy Park. All Delco defensive end. Hold on, let me find it here. There was a stat a moment ago here for Togbaporte. 3 sacks, 2 hurries, and 1 forced fumble through 3 quarters for Academy Park.
Wow.
He's been Anthony Paoletti's worst nightmare, it seems, tonight. All right.
All right, here we go, Springfield.
Here we go, Springfield now. 2 receivers to the left, tight end to the right. And they run McKenzie off the left side, who's got some room into the secondary. He goes. Good patient running for McKenzie to cut that back and pick up 7 down to the 43-yard line.
Yeah, that was not a super fast pace. That was just a good run, picked a hole, dodged, you know, switch. It wasn't very quick, but it sure was effective. Got 6 yards maybe.
North Penn is stretched to a 2-touchdown lead on Coatesville, 28-13 now in the third quarter.
Boy, from what we saw at Coatesville last week, it's hard to believe anybody can beat them.
North Penn looking awfully tough.
Yep.
Here, Springfield looking tough as well. 2nd down and 3. 2 receivers to the right, tight end to the right as well. They run off the weak side to the left, and McKenzie is going to go nowhere, in fact, backwards to the 44. Loss of a yard is going to bring up 3rd down and 4. So, again, not eye-popping numbers for McKenzie tonight. 20 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. A great credit to this Westchester Henderson defense. They have been very good for most of the night. Just a couple of breakdowns at key moments. And, Springfield's taking advantage of a couple short fields.
14 points is not a winning score necessarily in a playoff football game. But tonight, it's all they needed was 3, really, so far.
All right. Pupio split to the right. Slot right as well. On 3rd down and 4. Finelli back to pass off a play fake. Looking. Dumps to the near flat. Has a man out here. It's Kennedy. All sorts of room up the near sideline. 25-20. 15. Cuts inside. Runs through an arm tackle and into the end zone. 44 yards. Beautiful design. Kennedy all alone in the right flat. Finelli hits him for the 2nd time tonight. And Springfield may have just punched their ticket to the District 1 final with 5 minutes and 2 seconds to play in regulation.
No doubt about that. That hammering noise you heard was the nails in the coffin being sealed, I think. This is, under the best of circumstances, being down by 21 points is a very, very difficult road to hoe. When there's only 5 minutes left in the game, it's particularly difficult. And when you haven't been able to do much of anything on offense, it's impossible.
Jack Corey trying to tack on that 21st point. Ball spotted, kick is away, plenty of leg, and Corey is true for the 3rd time tonight. 21-0, Springfield on top. They connect on 3rd and short, and in a big way. Be back in just a moment. Henderson in a deep hole now in the semifinals. See what they can do when we come back on HavenFootball.net.
This broadcast is copyrighted by HavenFootball.net for the private use of our listening audience. Any other use or reproduction of this broadcast without HavenFootball.net's consent is prohibited.
This is Dan Baker, public address announcer for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles. And you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Well, finale to Kennedy on 3rd and 4, and 44 yards later, Springfield is up 21-0. 5:02 to play in regulation, and Westchester Henderson's six-game winning streak in serious trouble.
Well, they just, you know, again, I think the headline tomorrow is going to be all about Springfield's defense, because if this holds, you know, Springfield went ahead with the first touchdown, and that was the end of the game.
Yeah, hard to believe because, again, Henderson had the football down by one score twice near midfield in this second half. Just couldn't get anything going. Corey will approach and squib another one. It's going to come again, one of the up men, and this is right up the middle and running his way across the 45 to the 49 is Kyle McTiernan again. Lowered the boom there and has the football near midfield for the Warriors here. 4:58 to play in regulation. They've come to the end of the third quarter at Academy Park. The Knights still on top of Marple Newtown 20-7. Jacob Buttermore has another long run tonight. He's taken it down to the 11-yard line, so Garnet Valley threatening to add to their 31-21 lead in the fourth.
That's an amazing... They are the Cinderella team for sure
indeed.
Now.
Indeed. All right. Two wide receivers to either side. Shotgun look here for Solino. Back to pass. Looking. Firing to the right side. Has a completion at under the Springfield 45. Gain of about 6 on the play. On the far sideline to number 80, Robert Calhoun. First catch of the night for Calhoun. And Solino, 3 of 9 throwing it for 23 yards and interception.
They spotted him at the 45, actually.
Yep, okay. Second down and 4. Calhoun split to the right again. Split left to this near side of the field is Rizzo. Solino gets everybody set. Preston on his right hip. He's in the gun on 2nd and 4. From the 45, takes the snap. Back to pass. Has some time. Runs out away from pressure now. Ducks out to his right. He's going to be dropped for a loss of 2 on the play. Give the sack to number 50, Derek Strain. I'm 56. Sorry, 56, yep. Not 50. Nice work there by Dan Gluck for a loss of a yard and a half. Third and 5, clock ticks, 3:50 and counting to play. Solino, 4 carries for 18 yards. That's the first sack of the night for the Springfield defense. But deep hole here for the Warriors, 3rd and 5. Back to pass, looking, rolling to his right. Solino looking, firing to the far sideline, incomplete. Well out of bounds, looking for Nick Machete down at the near the 35-yard line. And now, 4th down and 5 to go. This is getting to be desperation time and maybe potentially the final chance here for the Warriors.
Yeah, this may be their final possession, depending on what happens. Of course, at this point, it almost won't make any difference.
Coach Mitten sends in the play. Jacob Buttermore has scored for Garnet Valley. 8:55 to
really?
Play there. It's 38-21 Garnet Valley.
Wow.
They're going to be playing some Thanksgiving football on Friday night. Two receivers to either side. Solino on 4th and 5. Back, firing deep down the far sideline. Incomplete. Seemed to be miscommunication. Receiver broke off the route. Pass went well over everybody's head. And the Warriors turn it over on downs with 3:31 to play. All right. Justin Shields with good pressure up the middle. Springfield defense getting a well-deserved hand here from the crowd below us as they hold for another four and out this time, turnover on downs. And again, Henderson still has less than 100 yards of offense tonight.
That'll be a headline or so. Well, just it's an unbelievable performance. I mean, we expected a low-scoring affair. We expected, you know, good defenses on both sides of the ball. But what Springfield has done tonight has been beyond belief.
They send two receivers to the right, Finelli under center, Springfield football at their own 46-yard line, leading by three scores, trying to put the game away. Shoveling off the left side, and he's dumped at the 49 after a gain of three. Just efficient, efficient football with timely plays in the passing game. Just, you know, lots of third down conversions. Everybody in the building knows it's going to Kennedy, and still he has 10 catches for 168 yards and two scores.
And some were spectacular. But yeah. You know, the bottom line is you possess the ball long enough, and you're going to start doing things with it. Odds are, although I remember a Strathaven Mannheim Central game that, in fact, went 3-0 for, yeah. And that was a playoff game, so semifinal in the PIA, right?
Yep. All right, here we go. Second down and eight. It's shoveling up the middle. McKenzie ducked into the game. Didn't see shoveling come off. He takes it to the 50-yard line for a gain of maybe two. Brings up third down and six. 21 carries, 57 yards for McKenzie tonight. Shoveling 11 for 22. So, again, great job, really, by the Henderson defense for the most part. Just a couple of breakdowns at key moments. And Finelli brings in the play now as the clock ticks. 220, 219 and counting to play in the fourth. 21-0 Springfield as they will punch their ticket to the District 1 5A semifinals. And now I think you're going to get a delay of game here. The back judge throws the flag. This might turn this into third and 10. Dead ball. And you had an illegal substitution there on Westchester Henderson.
Boy, when it rains, it pours.
If that's
huh?
the case, yeah, they've got 12 men on the field. 12 men on the field, 5 yards when they march this off. I think they're going to move the sticks with it. When he puts the football down, this will give Springfield.
Yep, just short.
Inches shy, so yep. It turns it to third and inches now. My guess is a first down. We'll then turn this into taking a knee very shortly.
That'll be the end of Henderson's offensive possessions. Who's taking a timeout?
Lassick scores his fourth touchdown of the night after a Shane Donegan interception for Garnet Valley. 44-21, Perk Valley trailing the 10 seed. Garnet Valley is going to go be playing football next Friday night. Amazing. Academy Park. Comes up short on fourth down. They turn it over on down, so they lead by two scores, but Marple has the football back here on third and inches. McKenzie right up the middle into the secondary, barrels his way to the 35-yard line. Give him nine more.
Good run by McKenzie.
And now that'll move the clock and move the chains. They'll spot it down at the 34-yard line. Clock ticks. 153, 152 and counting. And Finelli is going to bring in the play, take his time with it. I believe you're not quite at the point where you can take a knee, but Springfield's about to move to 12-1. Remember in the opening, we talked about them in the finals 2 years ago. Give is to McKenzie off the left side, and he picks up two. Clock ticks, 125, 124. 2 years ago, they fell. They were shut out by Great Valley. Former coach Dan Ellis, still the head man out there at Great Valley, but Coach Ellis took it to the Cougars in 2014 and ended an undefeated run. And
well, if this all holds, it'll be Academy Park at Springfield next Friday.
That's right.
We will most likely be at that game.
I would think, yeah, it looks that way. If North Penn and Garnet Valley hold, then it's going to look like that game will already be covered at the 6A level.
Right.
Finelli's under center on second down, takes a snap, takes a knee. Clock ticks, 45, 44. It's only 39, only third down. They're going to need to snap this maybe one more time, but players are starting to shake hands on the field already. And this has just been a terrific effort from both teams. Defense, 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 but Springfield came up with big plays at timely moments. Shields over the football. He's going to snap it one more time to Finelli under center. 18 seconds, takes a snap, takes a knee, and they will line it up at midfield, and the top-seeded Cougars will get to play at their stadium one more time this year. It'll be next Friday night at 7 o'clock against Academy Park or Marple Newtown. That one's not over yet, but we'll take a short timeout, see if we can get you some score updates. momentarily. Glad you joined us live around the archive. Be back in a moment on havenfootball.net.
Berman's Medical Supplies specializes in urological supplies, including catheters. Berman's offers top-of-the-line products with discreet delivery. We deliver same-day to local residences and guarantee overnight shipping to anyone living outside of our delivery area. Our patient-centered customer service has established Berman's as one of the region's premier providers of urological supplies. For the medical supplies you need, when you need them, call toll-free at 844-800-5777.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on havenfootball.net.
Congratulations to Coach Chris Britton and the Cougars.
Remarkable performance. I'm sorry. I thought you were pausing for me. That's
all right. Go for it. What else can we say? Remarkable and any other superlative you can throw at the Cougar defense in particular. Holding Henderson to, I'll do some very quick math here. Wow, 47 plus 23 is only 70 yards.
Yeah, under 100 yards.
70 yards of offense by my count. That's an amazing performance from the Springfield defense. And again, the passing game absolutely clicking tonight. Johnny Finelli, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 incompletions tonight. So he finishes 11 out of 18 for 178 yards and two big touchdown passes in the second half to Joe Kennedy. Kennedy finishes with 10 catches for 167, and just a tremendous performance by
Absolutely.
The Cougars. Congrats to them on advancing to the District 1 final for the second time in 3 years. They'll host either Marple Newtown or Academy Park. Academy Park leading 20-7 midway through the fourth quarter. So we'll see if it's the Knights making a trip over or if the Tigers can come back with a remarkable comeback. But congrats again to the finalists, and congratulations to Coach Steve Mitten and the Henderson Warriors. That team was 1-9 a year ago.
Yep.
So, again, what an amazing bounce-back season for Henderson to bounce back from 1-9 a year ago to advance, win two playoff games, and get to the semifinals. Just fantastic work there and a terrific effort tonight from an undermanned, banged-up team against the Central League co-champ. So, with that in mind, we're going to take it again next week, I guess. We might be right back here. We'll confirm
that in
the next couple of days.
Check havenfootball.net on Monday. We should have a confirmation, and then we'll post the link to the broadcast for Friday night. And, of course, we won't talk to you again until after Thanksgiving. So have a very happy day, and we'll all be a little heavier in the booth on Friday.
quick score updates. Extending leads. North Penn is up 35-13 on Coatesville,
really?
And Academy Park has scored 26-7.
That's it.
That's a pick six. An interception for Teddy Wright, and then he runs for 40 more yards on four carries to the end zone. So 26-7, Academy Park. It looks very much like the Knights will be marching up to Springfield 7 days from now. So thanks again to Pete Fulginetti. Thanks again to Glenn Mallon and everybody at Springfield for getting us set up in the booth. Congrats to Westchester Henderson. Congrats to the Cougars marching to the 5A District 1 final. Thanks again to Mike Mayer for doing all the color commentary, engineering, and everything else on havenfootball.net. Terrific job as always, Mike. And we'll try it again one more time.
Same with
week.
You. It's a pleasure working with you. You got such a great call of the game, and you know all those cool facts.
Yeah, well, we'll try to get a few more facts and maybe do this again one more time this season. 7 days from now, we'll be likely doing a District 1 final somewhere, and stay tuned for that. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Have a safe and wonderful holiday. Final score, 21-0, Springfield over Henderson. Good night, everybody. Brian Carroll signing out. Good night and great football.
This internet broadcast has been a production of HavenFootball.net Incorporated. All rights are reserved. Thanks for listening, and good night.